Hey, hey. Say something, Joel. Yeah, you're not working.
Playing the part of Barty today is Joel.
Microphone. Yeah, it's not working. No sound.
Plug it in.
No. Still can't hear you. Okay, 1 minute. This is the charades game.
How many syllables? Starts with the letter F.
ends with U. Yeah, you might want to check your settings on the computer.
I think that's what he's doing.
Oh, okay. Can you tell by his face?
I don't have video on him.
No, it was that face like, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
Almost live. From across the USA, this is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, the new iPhone is here. Barry reviews. Joel introduces a new family member, and Barty reviews the Samsung Galaxy S5. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the usual place at the usual time. Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 156, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the soggy Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And from the windy and cold suburbs of Copper Harbor, where it's snowing up on the ridge today, Michael, the Virtual Youper.
Wow. Before we get started,
snowman.
I want to show you guys something. Can you guess what this is? Wait a minute. Let me get down. There we go.
Beer.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Do you see
Stone it? Ship.
Stone Ship Ale.
No, but
can't
close.
I can't see anything. I can't turn audio on.
Beer. Pearl, what's the porter.
Yes.
From the Brookside Brewery.
The Park Bench Porter. And it is yummy.
So well.
I popped one of the pints I brought home.
That's a pint and a half.
Yeah, pint and a half, yeah. It didn't
22
all,
ounces.
It didn't all fit in the glass. So I've got leftover. That will be.
Well, I'm having,
that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Consumed.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. You got there as your pint and your reserve, Derek.
Yeah,
you reserve.
Yeah,
you're basically
about
a pint.
Shut and up and drink it.
Okay. Let's all be quiet now and drink.
What, I was the only one? No, Michael did too. There we go. Barty's still waving.
I got my sippy cup.
Oh, and by the way, Joel, I still have
I'm not on duty.
I still have your jerky sippy cup. The one.
Oh yeah.
Was that a jerky sippy cup also that you got, the littler one, or was that from somewhere?
The littler one, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have that here. Yeah, it was left in the car. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And it should stay there. for every time I come over, that's my official sippy cup.
Okay, okay. I'll put it in the, I'll run it through the washing machine, or washing machine, the dishwasher, and
take it down to the river and beat it against a rock for all I care.
As long as it's sanitized.
It'll be more sanitized than the Best Western.
Probably.
Oh, God. I have to say, with that comment, that I absolutely adored the TripCast going back and forth. You guys put out some pretty awesome TripCast. I just love listening to that, especially since I usually listen to podcasts while I'm commuting. So listening to you guys going down the road while I'm going down a road was just... just incredible. Some of the stuff that you guys were saying is, especially Joel talking about what Burger King onion rings do. I was thinking, do it to Barry, Joel. Do it to Barry.
He did. He broke my air conditioner.
Yes, he did. He didn't even have the onion rings to do that, though. That was before the onion ring story came out.
I don't want to say anything, but the day after we got home, the maintenance light went on.
I wish I could say I would be surprised, but I have to say, you big guys on a little tiny car, you're lucky that's all that came on.
I have a goal. Next time I come up, I'm bringing Burger King. Next time I go up to your place, Barry, and we're gonna have a nice Burger King dinner at about 4 o'clock, and then when we start to do the show at 8, I'll be able to blow the windows right out of the studio.
A seat with a hole in the middle.
That's all right. Just let me put plastic across my air conditioner up here.
And get a gas mask.
I do have 4 gas masks. I'll bring one for you.
Thank you.
Well, it defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Well, I'll give it to him after he gets to, you know, reap the benefits of all the razzing.
Yeah. After the walls turn green.
He doesn't want to kill me. He just wants to...
Right. I just want them to know, really, just how bad it can be.
Oh, God, that was fun. You know, you haven't heard the ones back yet, because I still haven't gotten them processed yet, because it took me so long to get 155 out.
There were a number of them about the return trip.
No, that was all going up. We haven't. I will say there's not as many coming back.
Right.
But we still did some coming back. And I'm going to try to get them out this week. So I just, you know, back to work and back to everything else and trying to get those out. And, you know, it was fun. But, yeah, we got it.
It was an awesome trip. I wish I could have been with you guys because, you know, going up to one of the most wonderful places on the planet and spending time with Michael must have been really, really awesome.
It was fun, and it definitely is a cool place.
I will be, well...
Short.
What's that, Michael?
It was too short.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that Michael is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. The guy is simply one of the most busiest persons I have ever dealt with. I mean, the guy is always on the move. You know, he's doing EMS stuff, and he's also a firefighter. And, he's also a dad and a husband. He takes care of kids. And he also does some programming on the side when all that other crap gives him a few minutes. Come on.
And he's also the IT specialist there.
And he sits on several...
Well, he's not the specialist. He's like the IT foundation of the damn place.
Several committees in Copper Harbor he sits on, too, for historic preservation. Don't forget that. That keeps him busy.
Actually, it's county.
Oh, the whole county, not just the town.
But he's also on several other committees that, you know.
Well, you got to do the milk run, and then you got to do the hot chocolate day, and then you got to do the... I mean, I'm rattling off a shopping list here.
Yeah. Did the hot chocolate last night, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that on the podcast. I was wondering if you did it or not. If you had an opportunity.
I did.
And then, and meanwhile, he has to keep all his portals up. And
yeah, I tell you, Michael, you really are a pretty amazing person, and I'm really glad. Personally, to be able to be associated with someone like you, you're just simply incredible. I just can't believe how active you are and that you're able to keep it all going.
Yeah.
Reminds me of just how lazy I truly am.
I know.
Kind of the way I feel about it. You know, when I listen to all the stuff Mike was doing, I'm kind of thinking, man, by comparison, I'm like a useless turd.
I go to work. I come home, I cook dinner, I do laundry, I watch TV, I go to sleep. Get up, lather, rinse, repeat. Oh, same thing again.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you do throw in video games, as do I, you know.
Yeah. Whenever the moment does hit, but like I try, now I'm aiming at, I have to be at work at 6:30 in the morning to beat the traffic. So that means, you know, easily up at 5.
Yep.
Out the shit shower, shave out the door, stop at the Cumberland Farms, get my coffee, gas up, and go. So it means I got to go to bed earlier. I can't video game at night anymore.
Yep. I hear you.
We should do what Michael and I do. We just don't sleep.
Well, Michael never sleeps.
Michael never sleeps because he's busy. I don't sleep because I'm too much. Actually, I do sleep because I sit down, I have my dinner, I start edit. You know, usually I edit a podcast or something if that's got to be done. TV's on in the background. I fall asleep. I wake up at 12:30 in the morning. Get up, take the dog out, feed the dog his snacks, and set the dishwasher on, and go to bed. And you know, it's 1 o'clock by then, and then I get up at 5:30 to start it all over again. So,
you go, why am I tired? Why am I so tired?
But I sleep in shifts is what I do. I think Michael's been doing that a lot lately too.
Michael sleeps in minutes. A few minutes here, a few minutes there. So anyway, Michael, what is this about the snow on the peninsula?
Well, pretty much what I said the opening there. It's took Mark to bowling today, picked up David from a friend's house in Kearsarge. The guys now know where that is. That's where the stone ship is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after I dropped Mark off at bowling, I took David down to see his friends at Michigan Tech, and he's spending the night there. And as I was going down the ridge, the rain turned to that whiter stuff that starts with an S and ends in a W. The element that shall not be named.
That usually ends up with a word that starts with an F.
Well, you know, actually it's late this year.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. When Michael,
they normally start by the end of September, so it gave us a couple days.
When you had said, you know, it might snow while you guys are here, and I thought, oh, he's just kidding. And it's 1 week later from when we got back, and you're getting snow.
And by the way,
he said it was late.
By the way, it was darn near cold enough to snow when we were there. So
yeah.
So
Tuesday morning when I was driving to town, it was 30 degrees out, 30.
Wow.
So and that was last Tuesday.
Unbelievable. I'm not ready for snow yet. Oh, geez.
Somebody's got a notification.
Yeah, I heard the bling.
Snow has arrived.
The Ingress Hangouts are active on my phone. They're they're going.
Well, I really screwed up the show.
Well, it's not time for the Ingress Hour.
Oh God.
Let's talk about iOS 8. How many people here have upgraded to iOS 8?
That pile of shit software that I fucking hate on my iPhone 4S. Yeah, my hand is waving in the air. Worst mistake I've ever made in my goddamn iPhone life.
Really? I've upgraded on my iPad, my wife's 4S, my company 4S, before it got replaced by a Samsung S5 that'll be talked about later. And we haven't had a single bit of problem other than the fact my big bitch about iOS 8 is that I can no longer sync my desktop and all my mobile devices in the iCloud anymore.
Not until Yosemite comes out.
Yeah, well, screw that. Why introduce this when it won't work? Yep. Why don't you just add it as iOS 8.2 or something once you have upgraded all the desktops?
Yeah, like they're doing
because
with Wallet.
I depend on that. That's one of the biggest things I like about the mobile devices is that I can put an appointment or something or a shopping list item in any of these things on any device, and it immediately goes to all the rest.
Yeah, I have to agree. They didn't do a great job on putting iOS 8 out. And I mostly blame, you know, it's iOS 8 that's causing all the problems. The other thing that I've noticed a lot too is jitteriness when you're scrolling, and that's something that was never a problem in the previous iOS's, and now I just upgraded the iPad 2 last night to it.
It's really
jittery. And hopefully they'll fix that, because it's also jittery on the iPhone 5, and some things are jittery even on the iPhone 6. So it's,
really, you have a 6 Plus, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, we'll be getting to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But let's talk more about iOS 8. Michael, what kind of experience have you had with your iOS 8? Because I know that you were complaining about bandwidth issues.
Michael?
Oh, Michael?
Well, yeah. And I definitely... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Kill your camera.
I did come with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Joel, I definitely want to hear what you got to say. My only real concerns... Yeah, I've noticed that the screen sensitivity has changed. Downcast doesn't work with a crap as far as user interface on iOS 8, but that might be downcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wi-Fi interface is pretty screwed up. Its bandwidth is way down on Wi-Fi, and it takes forever to discover things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been noticing.
I haven't experienced that, but then again, I'm only hitting Wi-Fi that's very close, and you know, in the house, and I haven't had an issue with Wi-Fi at all as far as that's concerned. But you know, I'm not living in a town who depends on Wi-Fi and a grid system. So, you're the expert in that.
Throughput about 20%.
Wow.
Of what it was. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's bad.
I was going to say, can we talk about battery life? My battery gets sucked dead literally 2% every hour.
Hey Joel. Can you go through your settings and go into general, and there's a reset thing, and when you go into that, there's a network reset thing. Go ahead through that process and see what that does for your battery life.
Did it. And it got a little... I reset the network, and I reset the entire phone from back to factory. It got a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I was losing seriously 2% per hour. So I mean, if you're at 100%, I was dead without making one phone call by lunchtime.
Wow, I haven't experienced that at all.
How much
neither.
Stuff do you have active? Oh,
and
sorry,
I actually have an OtterBox with a battery pack on it. It was killing the battery pack and the phone.
Wow.
By lunchtime, both.
That's weird, because I both the 5. And the 6, I've experienced, with the 5, I've experienced no battery change, and with the 6, I can actually go all day and actually all night. I can go a full 24 hours with the battery without
charge. I went one step better. I shut off all location services. I shut off all Bluetooth. I shut anything that was trying to ping a tower except the cell towers, which there's hundreds and hundreds of them where I'm at all the time, to make a phone call.
Yeah, nausea.
Exactly. And between nausea and Boston, I have no problem hitting a tower.
No.
And realistically, but I shut everything else off and made it run on, and I shut the Wi-Fi off because I knew it was a Wi-Fi connectivity issue. It couldn't find it, or it wouldn't connect with full strength. So I shut the Wi-Fi off, and sure enough, it got a little bit better, but my battery life, I mean, I will kill both the battery pack and the battery, both on the phone and on the case, easily in 8 hours, and it used to last 2 days.
Man, that's amazing. My wife and I both had 4S's. I just, like I said, recently upgraded or changed phones. But we have never had those kind of issues with iOS 8 at all. Mm-hmm. My battery power on both 4S's have been very good. And my wife is a person that leaves a ton of stuff running in the background because she keeps forgetting to terminate it all. Mm-hmm. So
that's weird. It must be something with just the 4.
Anything like that at all.
Must be just something just with the 4S then, because again, in here I got a 5. My wife's got the 5S, and I've got the 6 Plus now. And
yeah, but we have 4S's, and the 4S's that we have don't have the kind of problems that Joe was talking about.
It's hit or miss. My daughter has the 4S. She upgraded, and her battery life went down a little bit, but not as significant as mine. So I went online, and I was looking at the different forums, and it's only certain select 4S's are getting absolutely clobbered on battery life with the upgrade to iOS 8. Huh. And so it's not just mine. It's certain select ones. And I'm online, so there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these people saying my phone dies in no time at all. And then the others are saying, yeah, it went down a little, but it's not horrific. Mine's one of the ones.
I'm wondering whether you're suffering the same thing that the fives were having. That I was in that select group, and the battery, there was a battery problem, and they replaced my battery. I wonder if the 4S's have a select group, too, that's like that.
I don't know.
If you're a later 4S, if you ended up with the battery that landed in the 5.
It could be. I mean, honestly, mine was one of the last 4S's, in production run. Hmm. The 5s are clearly out when I got the 4S. And that's just, like I said, it's a company-issued phone, but I'm so disgusted. Oh, here's the other thing, iTunes. So with the upgrade to iOS 8, and obviously with the reset, I went to do a restore on a backup, and I lost every one of my ringers. I lost half of my music. My pictures are acting all kinds of screwed up between iCloud and the phone. And, I am so pissed off with it. I'm at the point now, if I wasn't Apple-centric locked in with all the computers, I would easily jump back to an Android without even missing a beat.
Well, what do you think an Android to?
I used to sync into my Windows machine in my work Dell.
And what does it get from your Windows machine?
Oh, no, I don't have an Android right now. I'm saying I would go to the modern...
No, but when you used to have one and you synced it to your Windows machine, what did you use to get?
Media player.
Media player?
I got to say, the only thing I can say is I backed up my iPhone 5, made sure I had the latest and greatest backup, and then I brought the 6 in and plugged that in and did a restore from the iPhone 5 backup, and I had absolutely everything. I mean, there was no problem whatsoever.
Right. Well, yeah.
Let me jump in. Yeah, Joel's right. It's select groups, but the ringer tones, backups, and all that, that's a known bug that's come out.
Okay.
And the iTunes restore is a known bug.
Yep.
And people are screaming bloody murder about it. And the first one that I heard it from was Leo. He went to go restore his music, and
gone.
It just was 7 ways to Sunday. He's managed to get it back, but it was not an easy process.
I had to use my Windows computer, which I had my music on. Initially, when I had got before I bought my MacBook, I had my work Dell. I had all my music on that. Well, I transferred it over to my MacBook. Then I got my iPhone. You guys remember, because I got my MacBook and I got my BlackBerry and replaced with the iPhone. So I'm like, great, now everything's Apple-centric. It'll all talk and mesh with one another seamlessly. The only way I was able to restore my music is I had to go back to my Windows, running Windows 7 64-bit, get it off of that, and put it back into iTunes. And then I was able to selectively bring it back over into my iPhone. The iPhone itself, with this latest software upgrade, has lost its ringers no less than 5 times.
Huh.
That's just nuts.
No.
The weird thing is the phone itself is actually acting weird. It's one minute it works, the next minute it won't. and it's not that I dropped it in water or that I had it sitting in the sun or anything. I mean, this Barry knows my things. My phone stays in the case all the time.
Yep.
It doesn't get dropped. I mean, I literally protect it like one of my children because I was so happy to get an iPhone. And you know, I mean, I coddle it. You know, I mean, I don't actually coddle it like Barry does at night with his iPhone 5S and hold it close to his chest while he sleeps at night. But that's it. I mean, I do the line with my precious, the precious, and he's got his earbuds in. But honestly, it's all I did is upgrade the software, and it has absolutely gone crazy, nuts, acting weird. And I said to Debbie, I'm like, you know, if this thing continues to act this way, it's going to accidentally fall into some water, and I'm going to have to get replaced by, you know, from work. But I'm looking at buying my own phone. I was seriously considering not buying an iPhone.
Well, I can tell you is, and again, they 4S is at the back of the line as far as this upgrade is concerned. You know, when they come out with iOS, iOS 9. iOS 9. The 4S is going to be dropped. And I got to tell you, right now, I haven't played with it that much, but even the iPad 2, which is the last iPad, this will be the last upgrade for the iPad 2. I was just playing with it a little bit, and it was a little bit flaky last night, too. So I think what's happening, and Apple's famous for this, it's time to get a new phone. Or time to get a new iPad. That's what they're trying to tell the people that have the older phones.
Yeah.
You know? They will address it, though.
Yeah, they will. I mean,
iOS 7 still runs great on iPhone 4, but it took them a couple tries to get it right.
Yeah.
I have got some flaky things going. I still occasionally have had some hard lockups in my phone where I've had to go and reset it. And I've got a 5S. But I am confident whether they're admitting to it or not, I bet you they've got hundreds of engineers working on the next release that will either be... Well, there's no such thing as quietly releasing any updates anymore because it'll hit the news no matter what they do.
Well, 8.1
I'm thinking in the next couple of weeks. I think there's going to be an update in the next couple of weeks that'll address most of this.
Yeah, because the best beta, even though they say, this is ready for release, you know, the best test is when they release it to the world.
Yeah, there's nothing like 6 million beta testers.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is I've got 2 4S's that had no problems at all with iOS 8.
And I was going to suggest to you, Joel, if you're having that many problems, boy, maybe it's time to just take it to work and say, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to drop it in anything. Just say, it doesn't work. It got upgraded to 8, and it doesn't work. I need a new phone.
I'm at that point. I'm really, really reaching the point where it's not even enjoyable to use it anymore.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, if you're having that kind of problems with it, I would ditch it. You know, I agree with Barry. I would go back to your company and say, hey, look, I upgraded this thing dutifully, and now it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what can you do for me? Because this is not satisfying the company requirements. I cannot get my job done with this phone.
Well, that's the only problem. Then they'll give me another phone that has work email on it. Oh, your BlackBerry seemed to work all the time. Here you go, buddy. Oh, great. Thanks. You know, but honestly, it's we'll see what that. I'm going to ride it out until they come out with the next patch, like Michael said.
Yeah.
You know, if I was the only one, I would say, hey, I'm up a creek without a paddle. Mm-hmm. However, if you Google iPhone 4S issues with iOS 8, mm-hmm. you're going to hit 10,000 hits and it's page after page after page of people saying the same thing. So they're going to have to address it.
No, they'll address it then. It's just a matter. It's going to take them a little time to work the bugs.
Figure out what the hell is wrong.
Yeah.
It's
so I'm going to wait for that, and then once that patch comes out, we'll give it a whirl. Mm-hmm. By then, I'll have my own personal iPhone anyway.
Yeah, so Barry.
Well, if you do,
he moves up a new iPhone 6 Plus.
I'd say,
Barry, talk about it.
If you do get one, get at least a 5.
Oh, I'm actually. I just told Debbie I want a 6.
Yeah, you've got to get a 6.
Yeah. So
the 5.
The 6 Plus I don't like is a little too big because I know I'll break it in my pocket, but the 6 would be right there.
That would be incredible, bendable phone.
Yeah. Okay, phones out of 10 million.
But the thing is, like, this is not the first bendable phone. Did you see that recently, after that whole allegation came out, the Consumer Reports did a study and found out that there were actually a good number of other cell phones that were much more bendable than the iPhone 6 Plus.
Exactly.
And in fact, the iPhone 6 itself is more bendable than the 6 Plus.
I saw an answer, a comment to one of the stories about the bendable phones, which I loved. And they said, when you go shopping for a flat screen TV, you know, at your local big box store, do you take a baseball bat with you and hit the screen with it and then say, this screen isn't very sturdy, I don't want this, you should make a better product? You know, it's like, I find it's if you're going to sit there and purposely try to bend the phone, you know, and if you got a device like this, you know, if you're wearing tight jeans, you don't stick it in a pocket. I wouldn't stick any phone in a pair of tight jeans. You know, if you got loose pockets, yeah, you can stick a phone in there. I got to interrupt.
You're a middle-aged man, the same as the rest of us. The kids nowadays are all wearing skinny jeans.
Well, guess what? Don't put your phone in skinny jeans. It's not made for that. And guess what's even worse? And I see people our age do this. They stick it in their back pocket and then sit down on it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That's stupid. You know? I wouldn't even do that in an Otter case.
I don't put my wallet in my back pocket. My phone.
Yeah.
So setting all that aside, how do you like the iPhone 6 Plus, Barry?
I like it. I only have one complaint about it so far. Where they put the on-off button. Uh-huh. It used to be on the top. Where all the iPhone users are used to having the button on the top. Okay?
Yeah.
So I keep finding myself still pressing on the top, and oh yeah, the button's not there. It's on the right-hand side, which isn't a bad thing in itself, but it's on the right-hand side directly across from the volume controls buttons.
The volume's not on the right anymore?
The volume control's on the left-hand side. It's always been on the left-hand side.
Really?
No, they've always been on the left-hand side. But they're right across from the turn your volume up and the power button are right across from me. Well, they're a little bit off, but here's what I do. And
you know what that means? They're copying Samsung.
They are. Because somebody at work showed me.
Is on the right-hand side.
Well, and the, excuse me, the power button's on the right-hand side, and the volume control buttons are on the left-hand side. But the problem I have is when it used to be on the top, I used to hold my phone in such a way that when I, you know, when I'm listening to something and I want to crank the volume up, I always use the buttons, and I go to push the volume up and I hit the power button and I turn the phone off. I don't turn it completely off. I just, you know, I turn the display off because I'm pressing, you know, you got to apply pressure on the opposite side so you can press the button, right? And so I keep doing that. So all I can say is I guess I'm holding it wrong. The phone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's a big phone.
Which
and
other
iPhone you have a
people.
Big hand.
Yeah, but yeah, it's easy. Now other people may have a problem with a large phone like this. It is big. I took my iPhone 5 and placed it on top of it and I could see display all around the iPhone 5.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that.
It's large. It's a large display. The plus thing about the large display is I'm not squinting. I'm not pinching spreading out the display so I can read text. I can read text on the large display with no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, that's why I didn't like my 4S. Is I really had a hard time reading things on the screen.
Yeah.
And when it came time to upgrade mine, I didn't really have a decent iPhone choice because, I won't go into company policy, but I could not get a 5S. So I opted for a Samsung 4S.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a bad phone, 4S or 5S. I think it was a 5S. But anyway, it's a nice phone, but it's not an iPhone. But part of the reason why I figured I didn't really care was because when the iPhone 6 was announced, I decided that I really wanted to have an iPhone 6 as a personal phone and wanted to go back to the way I had been for a number of years, where I had a company phone and a personal phone, because I find I'm doing more and more on the phone, uh-huh. where previously I did very little on the phone. Huh. And so it didn't really matter. One phone was as good as any. But now I want to do more things personally that I really don't want to be doing on a company phone. One key feature I'm interested in is the Apple Pay thing that's going to be coming out this fall. My bank is one of the banks that has already announced that they are already working with Apple and will support it completely. Uh-huh. And I think that is like one of the coolest things coming. And it's also a good amount of security, because you're not handing your credit card to some pimply-faced kid to go walk off somewhere with it and have all the information available on the card to himself and bringing it back to you. And, yeah, 9 times out of 10, nothing happens.
Well, not only that, but when you use it, it actually generates a one-time-only number for the payment, the transaction. And it's only for that particular transaction. If you were to go again to that same register and say, oh, I want to buy this also, you would get another number for that transaction.
Yeah, and there's no personal information being exchanged.
Right. Yeah,
there's no credit card information that's going to the vendor.
So that's going to be neat.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that I can't wait for. That's supposed to be 8.1, coming out in 8.1, which is supposed to come out this month. But as far as... The screen size is nice. It's phenomenal. It fits in my hand because I'm big. My hand's big. I'm not having problems. Matter of fact, I look like a normal person now with a cell phone in my hand instead of...
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I love it, Joel. That's great.
I dig, and I know the 5S people were the first ones that had it, but I'm digging the fingerprint thing, because that's just, you know, a matter of fact, I put in my one thumb, which I use when I'm doing things one-handed, and I put
that
my
great big digit.
Yeah, I put my index finger on my other hand, which is the other more important one I use, and I liked it so much I started adding all my other fingers. So I can pretty much use any finger to to unlock the phone. The only negative thing, and I guess this is a security thing, if you power down the phone completely, which I usually do when I go to work, I just turn it off because it's sitting in a locker.
Right.
When you first turn it on, you can't use the finger thing. It requires you to punch in the
passcode.
The passcode.
Yeah. What the hell good is that?
Well, you can still use the passcode even with the finger thing.
The whole point of having the fingerprint thing is that I don't need to punch in 4 numbers. I use the pad of my finger.
Right.
Is my passcode.
Right.
Yeah, but only when you power it up.
No, they give you, and even when you can use it, you can still swipe to the right and use enter a passcode in. They give you both options.
Except for when you power it up.
Except when you power up, then you got to punch it in. So one of the things I'm going to try at work, one of the guys says, well, why don't you just put it in airplane mode and stick it in your locker? And I said, that'll probably work, because if it's off and I'm in airplane mode, that means none of the radios are working.
Right.
And I doubt I'll have any battery drain because it's not running anything in airplane mode.
I never, ever power off any of my iOS devices, because it seems to take a glacial amount of time for the friggin' thing to power up.
Well, this thing's fast. It comes up pretty quick. Comes up a lot faster than my 5 did. But I do it, Barty, because if I, you know, it sits in a locker at work. Well, that's basically a Faraday cage. And what happens is my phone sits there and tries to contact the cell tower constantly. And I pull it out at the end of the day, and my battery's on zip because it's been trying to access a cell it can't.
I'm familiar with Faraday cages. I have one in the basement that I had with me in Turkey. Yeah. But, that's another story. But, I don't know. I usually just, I never really have a problem with it. I think most of what I do, if I think I'm going to drain a lot of power, I just put it in airplane mode and just let it
go. Yeah, well, I'm going
to
try that.
I go to a lot of places where I can't bring my phone in.
I'm going to try that, because the other thing that's kind of funny every day, like I said, I power it up. And, you know, the thing powers up pretty quick. And as I'm walking down the hall, leaving the building, all those pent-up notifications that I haven't received all day, they all come in at once. So my phone's going, bing, ring, ring, da, 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 three, two, day, ah, I'm walking down the hall with all these notifications coming in.
yeah, I'm familiar with that. I go through the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm going to try the airplane mode thing and see how the battery lasts, because I have a feeling it won't have any drain on the battery, because it's basically a dormant phone at that time. But then I don't have to, you know, worry about stopping it and restarting it and stuff. Now, the battery life, like I said, the battery life on this phone, it's better than any phone I've had. iPhone I've had in the past. I mean,
it's big enough to hold a larger battery.
Yeah, and but it's also got a larger screen, so it sucks up more power. But I can literally go, and this isn't counting work, because work I turn it off. But over the weekend, I can go probably over 24 hours with the battery without having to recharge it, even though. My normal mode is I don't plug it in at night. I plug it in while I'm in the car. But I wanted to see how the battery was going. Last Saturday, I just walked around and not charged it up, because I wanted to see how the battery life was. And it was great. And it could be because, well, it's a brand new battery. It's a brand new phone. You know, if you're any battery, even 2 years old, is, you know, if you got a 2 year old battery, guess what? All batteries start to go after a while, and they slowly fade out. And so, you know, I'm sure 2 years from now, this battery won't be the same as it is right now. But I gotta say, for a new phone, and compared to my other new iPhones when I got them, this has the best battery life so far, even with iOS 8 on it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about batteries and Apple's use of them is that I didn't buy a first-gen iPod, but I did buy a second-gen one, and I passed it on to my son after a while, and he still has that. The battery has failed, but only about a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the battery was still worthwhile after all those years up to that point. And the whole device is totally functional. If you plug it into a USB port, it works just fine as an external hard drive, which is what he uses it for. Of course, it doesn't have a whole lot of space. I mean, it seemed big back in its time, but it's not much of anything these days.
Yeah.
But the battery was kind of decent. So
now I'll
revisit the battery issue when we get down to talking about the Samsung phone that I have now.
Okay. The other thing too is it I can do pretty much everything on it one-handed still, but then again, I have large hands.
You're a rather majorly pawed person.
Right, but I do have problems getting over to the extreme left. I hold the phone in my right hand most of the time, and I have a problem getting over to the far left icon column. I have to kind of adjust it in my hand to reach it. Now, with iOS 8, or I'm not sure whether it's all iOS 8, maybe it's just for the 6 Plus, it works. You can double tap the sensor button. You don't press it, you double tap the top of it, and it puts it down into a mode where you can reach things with your thumb, but it's still the full width of the, you know, it's still 1, 2, 3, 4, it's still 4 columns wide, but it moves all the icons down so you can reach the top, because most people have problems reaching the top, but again, they probably have problems reaching over too. If I were them, what I would have done is I would have shrunk them down and moved it from the left-hand corner and shrunk it down into a box in the right bottom, so you could reach all the buttons.
Kind of like down to like an original iPhone
right,
size.
Right. Yeah. If they did that, if they reworked that and redid that, then you could work this thing one-handed. Anybody could work it one-handed. If they did that. But yes, so the size is okay by me. I'm still getting used to the size because it is big. But other people, I think the 6 may be a... I could probably get by with a 6. Again, the number one feature for me with getting the large one was I can read everything on the display without having to bump the text up.
Yeah. Like well, that. I'm planning on getting a 6, and I'm looking to get the 6 Plus as well, because I want the screen size. Because to me, the original, when I first got into iPhones, mm-hmm. you know, back with the original model, and, you know, up to, I think the last iPhone I personally owned was like a 3G or something like that. The screen size was okay, but as I've gotten older, mm-hmm. that kind of a form factor is just harder and harder to see, and I have to squint more and put my reading glasses on, and it's a pain in the ass, you know. So I use it less and less because of that. And if I can get a bigger phone, well, like I have now for work, I like the larger screen size, and mm-hmm. that's what I want to work with, because it's a lot. Because I shifted a lot of the phone things I was doing over to an iPad when the iPad came out, and the phone became kind of like useless, because mm-hmm. everything I did on the phone I did on the iPad instead, because it was easier to see. Yeah. You know, that's why I quit having a personal iPhone. I mean, a personal phone. I just went with the business one, and that was that. But the big thing with me is I really want to be able to use the Apple Pay functionality, and I want the fact that they have a bigger screen iPhone available appeals to me, and that's what I'm looking to get.
Yeah, it's nice to watch video and look at pictures on it too.
yeah, but see, I would rather do that on my iPad that has a much larger screen.
And here's the thing,
because to me size matters. You know, I'm like a cheap woman. You know,
bigger. Well, I used to, if I knew I was going to have to read something for a while, and you know, I have sitting next to my chair, you know, my iPhone, and I had the Nexus 7. Usually, my wife now has the iPad. But if I had to read something, I'd always grab the Nexus 7 to read stuff, just because it was bigger. But now I find myself, I'm just grabbing the 6 Plus, and because I can read it with no problems on here. So, and it fits in one hand, as opposed to the 7 kind of fits in one hand. But so that's nice. There was something else I wanted to mention about it. The camera. The camera is great. And again, I've got the 6 Plus, so I've got the camera with the new Steadicam feature, and it's not a software Steadicam thing. It's actually it physically moves the lens.
So the 6 doesn't have that?
No, the 6 does not have that. That's a 6 Plus feature only. It takes phenomenal pictures. And again, yes, it's an 8 megapixel camera. I don't know. It takes great pictures. The low light is incredible with it. It's taken a lot better pictures. Almost to the point that, you know, this, you know, I've got my other fancy camera, and yes, that still takes way better pictures.
Depends a lot about what the sensor does with the data it receives.
Right. And so they got phenomenal software in holding that. Now, the camera does come out of the case a little bit, I would say when you're not using a case for the thing, it actually sits on the lens, but it is sapphire glass on the lens. But
the camera sticks out from the case
just a little
from the
bit.
Actual
like really? I don't know how,
like the S5,
like maybe 7 millimeters or something like that. You don't really notice it if you have a case. The whole problem, it's not really a problem, but it goes away. Because, you know, the other thing I got to say, and this is true with all phones by all manufacturers, but again, I will complain, because I complained about this when I got my iPhone 5 without a case. Let's get off this making it as thin as possible kick. Nobody cares that it's almost paper thin. I don't want a phone that's paper thin. This phone is even thinner than the 5, and without a case, I have to literally slide it off the table to pick it up. I cannot get a grip on it to pick the thing up.
You have fat you got large digits, though, right?
But you know, and many people have said this online, and I'm going to repeat it. Instead of making the phone thinner, why don't you fill that space that you have saved with more battery? Because everybody wants longer battery time, you know?
Yeah, I would much rather have a thicker phone that lasts for 3 or 4 days without a charge than a paper thin phone that is bendable if I'm an asshole and puts it in my back pocket and sits down.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is the thinness doesn't necessarily interest me at all.
Yeah.
I'm more into, like, functionality.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to work. I want it to work well and work fast. And I don't really care how light or thin it is.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just nothing but marketing and advertising points as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I agree with you that you don't need to have a paper thin phone that weighs about as much as an autumn leaf.
Yeah.
It just, to me, that all of that is rather immaterial. I'm more interested in the functionality of it. How well does it work? How well does it do its
right.
job?
It's
and how long will a battery charge last?
Right. It's almost like, oh, look what we can do. You know, we've advanced the technology so much. Look how thin we can make it. It's not useful that thin.
The whole thinness thing is nothing but a marketing and advertising feature. That's
but
all.
Nobody cares. That's the thing. Who cares how thin it is?
Well, evidently, a lot of people must care because it sells phones.
Everybody's doing it.
I love to hold a legal pad up to the side of my head to make a phone call.
Yeah.
I'm thick as a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Actually, to make a phone call, I actually like it better because the mic is now right down at my mouth instead of, you know, halfway up my face, which wasn't a problem before because of the way they do the microphones. But, you know, I don't know. And again, I don't make many phone calls where I actually hold it up to my face. Most of the time I've got it on speakerphone or something when I do make a phone call. So, but it just feels more. It feels more like a phone when I hold it up to my face at this size.
The whole funny thing with mine is I hardly ever use it as a phone.
Me too. It's a computer that also makes phone calls. But the pictures that it produces are phenomenal, and the camera's quick, and they've added new features like you can take slow motion video and you can do time lapse video, which I think the 5S had also, but it's new to me, so it was I just played a couple. You know, I was trying to find something that would look really cool in slow mo, and I took a picture of Sammy just walking in slow mo, which was quite boring. But maybe I'll have to let him loose and let him run around and then try to take some pictures of him running around.
So what is this about you being a home network her?
Oh, that's when was that? Something got deleted. My home network I'm not even sure what that used to say, but basically what I wanted to say is I was having internet issues and I potentially still have internet issues, but it's sporadic. And I was talking with my neighbor last weekend, and she also, her house is also having network issues, internet issues. And we have the same carrier and or provider. And so now we're going to make phone calls again to them and say, look, it's happening to two houses, so it ain't our houses that are the problem. It's somewhere further down the line. And we're having the
who's
problem.
Your,
Fairpoint.
Who's your ISP?
Fairpoint.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
DSL.
Yeah. My son was with Fairpoint for a long time, and he so painfully, because he absolutely hates Comcast, but he went back to Comcast simply because the problems he was having with Fairpoint after 6 to 8 months of dealing with them over and over and over again, they just simply could not fix it.
Yep.
So he went back to Comcast for cable only, and he absolutely abhors Comcast.
Yeah.
So for him to have to go back to Comcast, Fairpoint must have been just absolutely abhorrent.
Good for him that he has a choice.
I'm
thinking about switching over myself.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about switching back over to Comcast for internet because it's so ungodly slow here.
I don't know what they did. They did something because when it first started, you know, I pay for 15 MIPS down and I was actually getting 17 MIPS down, and now I'm getting just north of 10 MIPS. And every once in a while, the service kind of craps out. And my neighbor and I are kind of watching it together now to see if there's
craps out. How far are you from the switch?
I don't know. See, because, Sparty, they put in, before we were too far from the central office, which was the switch. And now they put remote switches in or I don't know what you would call them.
What?
They put switches in closer, or they put amplifiers in or something, because when it was Verizon, they said you're too far away from the central switch, which is in the central office. Well, that hasn't changed. The central office is still the same building, but they must have put in other switches or amplifier. I don't know what they did, but they allow us to do it. And like I said, like up until a couple months ago, I was
It sounds like a smoke and mirrors kind of thing.
No, but Barty, up until a couple months ago, I was getting 17 MIPS down all the time. One MIP up, which is what I pay for, actually above 1.2, 1.3 MIP up, which is more than what I'm paying for, and the service was flawless. And then a couple months ago, it started acting up, and now periodically it goes down, it drops down below one MIP, sometimes just over one MIP. I don't seem to be getting over like 10 or 12 MIPS, whereas before it was a solid 17 all the time. So, and this is DSL, so I'm not sharing it with anybody. So,
yeah, I'm on DSL as well, but I have a direct line to the switch, and I'm right at the 3 mile limit for DSL. Yeah. So I really can't complain if I don't get maximum bandwidth, because, like I said, I'm right at the maximum, and so it goes up and down. And of course, we have old copper out here, so in bad weather, I tend to get spotty. Network response time. So, but you know, I've been able to deal with it by having an extra phone line and putting in two DSL connections.
Yeah.
So, which I think we joked about a year or so ago. That meant that somebody else doesn't have phone service. But anyway.
Well, they actually told me when I had the guy out here looking at my stuff here. He actually told me. I said, I see there's faster service. I said, how much more does the faster service cost, and can I get it here? He goes, well, you can't get that service because that's actually fiber, and we don't have fiber out here. But he says there is another service that you can get where they basically use two phone lines into the house. And I do. I already have. I mean, I used to have two phone lines into the house, so I know I could get that. And they put DSL on both of them, and then I forget what the name of what they call it, but they basically, you know, kind of mix those together, so you get technically you get double the speed, but you don't really get double the speed, you know, because of the way it's shared,
well,
and things like that. But I would get probably like 20 to 25 MIPS. Yeah.
When I talk to some of the technicians here, they are working towards the same kind of technology here. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to get and keep two phone lines and get two DSL connections, is because I think what they're talking about doing is having one connection be transmit only and the other one being receive only, so they don't have to switch back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you can achieve better bandwidth that way without having to share duplicity on a line.
Yeah.
But that kind of sounded like smoke and mirrors to me. And I says, yeah, well, whenever you perfect that, give me a call.
Well, I mean, the technology's there. And they'll tell you you'll get 30 MIPS, but that's not what you'll get. You'll really get like between 20 and 25.
Well, it also depends on the quality of the wiring, too. Because we have, like, old copper here, and I can tell you that when the weather gets bad and something weather-wise affects the wiring, I get much worse throughput. And there's nothing anybody can do about that because it's just old wiring. It wasn't meant to handle this kind of bandwidth. It was made to handle telephones,
right.
And that was it. And it works great for telephones, you know, except that there's limited lines.
But then, my, and I know they'll never do this, but then my response to that is, well, okay, I'm paying you for 15 MIPS down and one MIP up. You say you can provide me that. Oh, I've got old wires coming to the house. I can't give you that. then why am I paying for 15 MIPS down?
Well,
if I'm only getting 12, let me pay for 12.
The only way you get around that is to get a lawyer and just take them to court, you know.
And since they're the only game in town, what, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the same boat because that's the only game in town I have, unless I want to switch to satellite, but then you can't play games online because of the latency.
Yeah. Yeah, and satellite, I've done satellite, believe me, and no thanks.
Yeah, so have I. All I can say about satellite is that it's better than dial-up.
But what I wanted to say with the home network, I mean, that was one, that's what started the whole change, because I was going around and checking all my boxes and everything and making sure that nothing was faulty with them. And I had, a couple podcasts ago, I had pointed out to you guys that I was still using a hub up here.
Yeah, and, yeah, I remember all laughing
and
at you.
You guys are giving me a hard time. So I went online to Amazon and I found a Gigabyte switch.
Hell, you can go probably to a Salvation Army and buy one for like $2.
Well, I paid $18 for this one. And I put it downstairs, and I only have two Wi-Fi ports.
So, is that where you had to remove the installation under the stairs?
Under the stairs?
That's what you got next in the show notes. Remove the insulation under the stairs in the garage.
No, remove insulation.
Isn't that what I said?
Oh, yeah, you said I thought you said installation. No, that's another story. So I got a router and I put it downstairs, and actually I first put it up here, and so now I got a gigabit going down, or up to a gigabit going downstairs now, and that's wired. So all the machines that are wired up here have fast down right directly to the router. And then I had two routers because I got two Wi-Fi. The actual DSL modem is Wi-Fi, and then I had my Netgear one, which I think is also having some issues, but it's pretty old. I decided to go out and I purchased
Apple Extreme.
What's that?
Apple Extreme.
Oh. Well, I have one of those too. That's across the room. But I went. I said I don't need two Wi-Fi things in here. As a matter of fact, one of them I turned off the Wi-Fi and was just using it as a switch. So I popped the Netgear one out. I went to Staples and actually for $20 got a another gigabit switch, and I put that down there. So now I'm going gigabit to gigabit, and all my stuff is going into gigabit routers and then going to the hub or the DSL modem. And I've got another Wi-Fi, which is an Apple Airport, which is across the house on the other side of the house, and that's hardwired into the switch back at where the modem is. And so everything's going lightning speed now when it's wired, and the modem or the Wi-Fi is working well. I've got one kind of slightly dead spot in the house for Wi-Fi. It's not really that bad, and I was looking at possibly turning my Netgear one into a wireless it won't be the fastest thing, but you know, I could fill that void if I put it upstairs and did the wireless connect, whatever it's called. I forget what the name of it. Michael, you probably know what it's called. Where it stands alone and it talks. What's that? Replicator.
Is it part of the home kit?
Yeah, replicate it in that one spot. Yeah, it's slower.
Yeah.
But at that part of the house, okay, I'll admit it. It's the front bathroom. I don't get good Wi-Fi coverage in the front bathroom.
So you don't do much sitting in there, do you?
So I'm thinking about, and that means the front bedroom probably doesn't get it too good either. So I was thinking about trying to, I haven't done it yet because I haven't had time, but I'm thinking about just setting that up as
explains why every time I'm sitting on the head, I can't ever read my email.
There you go. See, I'm thinking of you, Joel. I'm thinking of you. When you
he's trying
when
to
you
keep
stay
you
over.
In the bathroom longer.
but everything's working great, and everything's lightning speed fast, and I'm happy now, except for, you know, we're still working the DSL issue, and, you know, it's going to take forever for us to tell.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah.
It's your problem, not ours. There's two of us.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same boat, and I understand your pain, Barry, because we go through the same thing here.
Right. And they can tell me to go to hell and give me your money, because, okay, if you don't like us, switch. Okay, here's your money.
To nobody that's available,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. The benefits of living out in the country.
Exactly. But here in the house, we have an Apple Extreme router. Router that we have hooked to to the main DSL modem, and that feeds three Apple Expresses, one each to do two different printers, so you can print to either printer. And then I've got a Apple Express down in the garage that where I've got like a woodworking shop, and I've got speakers plugged into there, so I can go on my iPhone or iPad and tell it to play whatever music from my iTunes library into these speakers. And just sit there and, you know, rock down while I rip up some wood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that system pretty much covers the entire house.
Yeah.
Because I can go out in the back patio outside the dining room and be able to still play with the iPod or iPad or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that works. That's cool. But, yeah, so the house is working. The house is humming. It's just I got to deal with the DSL. That's it. So, let's go down here. Oh,
Michael's got something that bends.
Well, I wanted to continue on the next step. I was going to tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
And one of the things that's been going on here is we've been doing some home repair on some things, and today on the honey-do list that I needed to get some stuff done is we only had one room in the house now that had carpet in it. It was a little. You could call it a bedroom if you want. It's a little bedroom. We use it as kind of, all the exercise equipment was in there. And my wife used to do arts and crafts stuff in that room.
So basically, exercise equipment was up leaning against the wall, right?
Yeah. Actually, she uses some of it. She goes up there and uses the stair stepper pretty much every night. But it had carpet in there, and at one point, our 20-year-old cat, we kept her cat box up in that room, and she's been having issues of late that we keep her pretty much penned up in her own room now, except for when she wants to go outside. But she's happy because she always lived upstairs, and she pretty much lived in this one room. We've got her. It's the front bedroom. We've got her in there, but we've pretty much put plastic down everywhere because she stopped sometimes using the kitty box. And so she did that in this carpeted room. And, I don't know if you've ever had wall-to-wall carpet and you let cats urinate on it, no matter what you do to get rid of the urine smell. You can dump 15 gallons of that deodorizer, neutralizer stuff on it. And it does a pretty good job, but it never quite gets rid of it. So we... a while ago, beginning of summer, we went down the lumber liquidator and got hardwood floor stuff. It's still sitting in the garage right now, but we bought that to go into that room. We're going to try to do it ourselves. Actually, I've done that before. It's not that hard. But today we decided we got to get the carpet out because you could still smell cat urine in that room. So we yanked that. We pulled everything out. We yanked all that up. So that was one thing we got rid of. And then Amory, again, we noticed there are stains on the subfloor. So Amory sprayed that with the cat neutralizer stuff. And hopefully that's smelling a whole lot better when you walk in that room. The other thing was the stairways that come up to the QRM studios, which is the back of the garage, they insulated underneath the stairs, which is great. It's a good thing, but they insulated it with hard insulation. They kind of ran it down the back, and Joel can attest that I'm trying to get rid of a mouse smell up in this office.
What is hard insulation?
Rigid insulation. Like
it's
the
foam.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
the foam. Styrofoam type insulation.
Okay.
So I never really
thought of styrofoam as hard.
One of the things I noticed when I was going up the stairs, I said, you know, the mouse smell is most pungent here at the stairs. So we decided we're going to rip down that insulation, and today was the day, and because that was an easy job. We want to get rid of it, see what we got to do, and then replace it with some other kind of insulation. Well, I popped off the rigid insulation and found out underneath there they had stuffed the regular fiberglass insulation in there. So it was kind of double insulated, which was a good thing, except, okay, it's a garage, okay? You can't keep mice out of your garage, okay? There's just no way, because half the time the doors are up, so they're going to come in. When it gets cold, they're going to find a way.
Well, they don't need the doors up.
Yeah, no, they don't. That's the other thing. They will find a way in. So what we found was that was their favorite place to nest, was underneath the stairs, because literally it was popping off the hard stuff. And
wow.
Luckily, I was stepping away because I was going to be showered with mouse feces from years and years of mice nests that were up there. And so we got all that cleared, and we were pulling down the regular fiberglass stuff. And, I mean, it, between that and if you looked at the other side of the fiberglass, it was just, like, covered in mouse urine that had turned a dark brown and everything. And I got to say, we cleared all that all up, cleaned it up, got it out. And it smells a lot nicer up here tonight. I've already noticed a big difference without going in. But now the question is, I have to insulate that somehow still. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, you know what we may have to do? We may have to get the thick rigid fiberglass and just...
What about that spray-in foam?
Well, that could be an option too. Because
for a small area, it might not be so expensive.
But I think I'd have to get somebody to come in, and a company to come in and do that, right?
I don't know. I think you might be able to get something from Lowe's or Home Depot where you can do it yourself.
Where you can spray the whole thing, because that would be ideal. I would love to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd want to do that for an entire attic or something, but for a smaller area, it might not be such a bad thing.
The backside of the stairs, and it has to be something that fills in that space so that critters will not nest in it.
Exactly.
So, you know, my idea would be to buy the rigid insulation again, but cut it so I actually follow the stairs up instead of putting
it... that's not going to go into the little holes, though. That's one of the things about the foam stuff, is that it'll foam into the holes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to have to investigate that, but I'm going to have to do something, but I was so glad to get that mess out of there.
I bet it's a big improvement.
And, you know, it's like I said, there's no way in hell I can keep mice out of the garage. Even when we put the new door, well, hell, when we had the old doors on, which opened up like barn doors, there was a gap underneath the doors. So, you know, they came in that way, you know, whether the doors were open or closed. Now we've got doors that seal pretty good on the stairs, on the floor.
Yeah, but they'll still get in.
Well,
trust me.
Again. Usually when we're home, one of those doors is up at all times. Because we kind of go in and out of the garage doors as our main entrance.
So. Yeah, we do too. And usually we keep our garage doors shut all the time. Mm. You know, we only open it while we're coming in or out and then close it. But we still get mice coming in.
Yeah, there's no stopping it.
Yeah, I mean, any small gap, they can squeeze themselves into.
Yeah.
You know, and they can chew on wood and make small gaps into bigger gaps until they can fit through. So you won't really eliminate them completely.
Yeah.
But you just have to make the environment inhospitable to them. Before we got a dog, we used to just kind of leave what the heck was that stuff? The little green pellets around.
Oh, really?
And we would find them dead all over the place.
Oh.
But we don't want the dog getting into that stuff, so we don't leave that around anymore. But the dog tends to chase him away anyhow, so, you know, either way, the problem is solved.
Yeah. Well, so, anyway, so that was just my story there. We cleaned that all up, and we got that, stuffed everything in big old black construction bags and took it to the dump and cleaned all that up, and it was good.
And
it was good. So, Michael, it bends.
It bends.
I'm thinking he's talking about the iPhone 6, huh?
Actually, I don't have a 6. I've got a 5S.
Okay.
But no, what I'm talking about actually is one of the days I picked up my kids from school this week. I think it was Wednesday. My youngest son, Mark, got in a shotgun on the truck, and he turned and looked at me and said, "My OtterBox fell apart today." And I'm like, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, it just came apart in pieces." And he's got his iTouch, his Touch 5, whatever they call it, thing is. Yeah. Anyhow, so he's got his iTouch 5, and he's punching numbers in it, and I'm looking at it from the side, from the other side of the truck, and I said, "Stop a second." He goes, "Why?" I said, "Just stop and hold it. It has a very pronounced bow all the way around."
Really?
His Touch 5 is bent. And he never even noticed it, but, you know, from the other side of the truck looking at it.
Yeah.
And it's been in an OtterBox its whole life.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I'll have to take a picture of it and send it to you.
And an OtterBox, those things are... Well, I got one for my wife's phone, and Joel has one. Those things are solid as can be.
Right, right. And he does not put it in his back pocket. Whatever happened was in his front pocket.
Wow. Huh.
But yeah, I've seen fives and some 5S's bent. I mean, in general, you have to sit on them to do it.
Yeah.
What impresses me is that how much bow you get out of these things, and the glass bends with it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the glass bends. It flexes back. Oh, that which reminds me, when you said that in OtterBox, there was one last point on the iPhone 6 that I wanted to make real quick. One of the hardest things to do for the 6 Plus was find a freaking case for it. That was, you know, I ordered one. I went through all these cases were going to be coming in like mid-October and things for the 6 Plus. I found one. They were going to have them September 27th, I think. And that day, so I ordered it. That day came. I heard nothing. On Monday of this week, I got an email that said, "Well, we can't get a hold of them. It's probably going to be later. But if you want to cancel your order, go ahead." And so I went ahead and canceled it because I said, "I got to get a case somehow." So I ended up going down to the Pheasant Lane Mall, which is in Nashua. I was going to go to the Apple store, and I was going to say, "Well, they got cases. I don't want to pay $39.99 for a frickin' case from them." Right. But as I was going through, I said, "You know, there's lots of other stores in here." You know, I passed the Verizon store. There was a AT&T store. There was some other kind of, a Best Buy little mobile store. So I looked in those. I didn't see a case I really wanted. They had 6 Plus cases. And there was a little kiosk in the middle before you get to the Apple store. And I went to the guy, and I found one for like $20.
Yep.
And the thing's got, you know, it's plastic on the back, sturdy. It's got a little kickstand so I can lay it on the table in either direction. And it's got the foam edges, and the thing's nice, $20. And it makes it's grippy on the sides, which is nice, and it makes the phone thicker so I can pick it up. And I'm actually very happy with it. And but he only had two left. That's so anyway, that was the last part of the 6 Plus review, is cases are a pain in the ass to get right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the latest and greatest, so everybody's running out to get a case to protect them.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think they're also not widely available yet.
The cases?
The 6 Plus. So there's not really a big demand for 6 Plus cases.
I think the biggest
places aren't going to be able to deliver them until the middle of next month.
I think the biggest problem is, because if you notice, OtterBox still doesn't have one for the 6 Plus. None of the external battery companies have ones for the 6 or the 6 Plus yet. And I think the reason being is Apple likes to keep things quiet and tightly controlled. And frankly, they don't get a hold of a 6 or a 6 Plus until almost the time we get a hold of it. So now they're on a mad dash to get a product produced, made to the specifications, and get them out there. I think that's the biggest problem. Mophie, I'm on a waiting list for Mophie to tell me when they're going to have a Mophie box available for the 6 and the 6 Plus, and the same thing with OtterBox.
Well, I very rarely put any of my iPhones in a case. I had a leather case, a really nice soft leather case for the 3G that I had, that clipped on my belt and stuff. That was kind of nice. But after that, most of them I just, you know, put in my pocket. You know?
Yeah, I just like I said, I mostly do it for protection. I also like the extra the lip that goes around that's a little higher than the screen, the display. So yeah. If you drop it, it's going to hit those before it's going to actually hit the glass. That's saved me a number of times. I don't drop my phone much, and usually it's, you know, if I'm, you know, it doesn't fall far. So glad I had it in a case. That's, you know, so.
Yeah, I wish I had my 4S in a case, because, you know, I had a 5 that I unfortunately let go swimming, and it died a very, very slow but terrible death. Yes. And the company replaced that with a 4S because it was free. They just had it hanging around. And I dropped that on the concrete floor of the garage, and the back glass cracked. So I put a piece of tape to keep the glass pieces in place because they were starting to, you know, crack off, and cellophane tape.
Yeah.
And after the first piece got rubbed off, I put a second piece on, and then I went about getting a replacement phone, because I knew they wouldn't give me another iPhone, but it was like I kept it as long as I could before the tape was wearing out and I was losing too much glass off the back. Yeah, I know what you mean about putting in a protective case, because my son's got these really rigid cases that he puts his iPhones in that you can drop them onto a floor with some force, yeah, and it won't hurt the phone at all.
Right.
But I just hate adding all that mass to a phone. I don't want it paper thin, but at the same time, I want it where it slips in and out of a pocket easy.
Well, this one's thin enough. It gives me enough grip that I can, first of all, it's plastic instead of the shiny, slippery aluminum. And by the way, they've got beveled edges on the sides now for this, the 6 and the 6 Plus, instead of the square sides. So this makes it a little bit easier. I like to be able to have a little girth there to pick the phone up easy, and it still fits in my pocket. So
I agree with you. I like a little girth there too.
If I'm wearing tight jeans, guess what I have? I've got a neat little satchel that I clip to my belt and I put it in. Yes,
not
I may look nerdy,
pack.
But
not
you know what?
Fanny pack.
Not a fanny pack, just a clip. And it's like, it's actually, to tell you the truth, I got it at Bell Tate's Hardware. It's actually to haul tools in. And it fits my iPhones perfectly.
It's like a Batman utility belt.
Yes, it's a utility belt. And you know, people say, "Oh, you look so nerdy." I said, "I don't care. I'm 56.
Yeah,
I'm comfortable with myself."
I dig it. I dig it.
You know, I don't care. I'm not going out chasing women. I don't care.
Chasing women. Well, you're a runner now, so you actually can't chase.
Yeah.
Slowly, but you can chase them.
Right. So, anyway, let's go on.
Let's go back to Michael and find out what the hell this pasty is.
Pasty?
Yeah, there's definitely an S in there.
No, it's pasty. I know what. Michael?
Michael?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I guess we had a lousy segue, Barry.
Anyhow, okay. So, I had a little incident here in the office. Anyhow, as you guys know, I've been going back and forth to town several times a day for the last couple of weeks. Uh-huh. And, was it yesterday? It's all kind of a blur now. Yeah, it was yesterday. I took care of a couple of errands, and I was heading into town. And I got going early, and I hadn't eaten yet. And I was in Calumet, and I was in the same plaza where one of the legendary pasty restaurants is. And I thought, yeah, I haven't had a pasty in a while.
Uh-huh.
So I walked in the door. It was rather early. I was kind of wondering whether they'd have any for, because it's a lunch item normally, not a breakfast item. And the lady had just pulled some right out of the oven. They're still cooling off on the tray. And $3.99 later, I had a you know, a huge pasty, brought it in the truck, and kind of peeled the edges of the bag down, and I'm eating it like a breakfast sandwich. And I got up to Quincy Hill. Now, do you guys remember where Quincy Hill is? As you come, you know, first come onto the island, you go that big hill, and there's the the mine shaft lift right off the edge.
Yeah, on the right hand side.
Yep.
Well, I was coming up to that to make a right hand turn, and I put the pasty down, but now I've been munching on it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing we didn't do as a group was get you guys to sit down and have a pasty.
No.
Right.
But I think you understand the concept, and there's lots of finely cut vegetables and meat inside these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as I'm slowing down, I hit a bump.
Oh, no.
And the pasty just exploded out the end that I've been eating. And all these potatoes and meat and rutabaga and everything else flew out over the shifting console.
Oh,
man.
So this thing is what, like a burrito or something?
It's a Hot Pocket. It's a very large, half-moon-shaped pastry filled with meat, vegetables, and a gravy. So it's the precursor to a shitty Hot Pocket, because Hot Pocket's processed crap. This has got real food in it.
Yeah, it's good food.
I would say it's kind of like a shepherd's pie. It sounds like a shepherd's pie only.
Well, sometimes it can be shepherd's pie. Like sometimes they're not. Like if you put corned beef in it, it's nothing like a shepherd's pie because the texture's all wrong.
Right,
sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it's awesome.
Delicious.
And we didn't get a chance to have some while we were up there, unfortunately.
Now, that's what the ISP that I'm associated with is named after. It's pasty.net. But so I just happened to be close to that fish market at that point, so I pulled off there and spent the next half hour cleaning. And anyway, you know, all those little booties, you know, where the four-wheel drive shit and everything is. Just
a little grooves.
I had to take it. Unfortunately, I had a lot of napkins.
But you were probably more upset that you couldn't eat the pasty after that.
Well, there was still half of it left.
Oh, okay.
Say, damn it, that's my lunch.
It's one thing to clean up the car. It's another thing to go, oh, I was going to eat that.
Well, the important thing is it's Chris's truck, not mine.
Oh.
I had to make sure it was clean.
Oh, yes, that is right. Oh, wow. So, geez, that is... Oh. Yeah, I was sad we didn't get to do. You know, it's funny because Joel and I were leaving, and I think we were down in Calumet, I believe at that. And I saw a restaurant that had something about pasties on it.
Yeah, a big sign on the right hand side when you're going down through. Is it?
Yeah,
Calumet. Yeah, I think it is Calumet. Big huge sign on the side of the road that says pasties.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking, damn, we didn't get the chance to try those.
Well, I did tell you I was going to ship some to you though.
Ooh.
This is true.
Okay.
This is true.
This December, I will be sending you guys some pasties.
All right.
How do you ship those?
Freeze them.
Yeah, they're frozen. You send them over. The internet service that I'm associated with still makes pasties, and they have a deal with FedEx, I believe.
Wait a minute. It's the pasty. Is it a bakery that they come out of? I don't know. You know, pasty restaurant and internet service provider?
And hair care and airport.
Actually, well, it wasn't too far from that. It was actually the place where it all started was a place called Stillwaters. Uh-huh. And Stillwaters as in retirement home. Hmm. Nursing and retirement home.
Okay.
And... This is a big segue, but I keep telling you guys, I'm going to tell you the story sometime, so we'll do the short version of it.
Okay.
But, we've got this, that's another story, but this wonderful retirement home and nursing home called Stillwaters, and you have lots of local youpers who have retired and, you know, and are living there, and they did a lot of things for activities. Well, one thing that all the older residents wanted to do was make their own pasties. So they would get together as a group and make pasties in the nursing home, assisted living home kitchen. Well, they got so good at it, they started selling them.
Hmm.
Now, they were making them for themselves, but they were making them for sale as well. And they got so good at selling them that at one point, they said, well, you know, we should advertise these things on the internet.
They didn't have an internet provider.
They didn't have an internet provider. So, well, first they started with the web page.
Yeah.
And then they had problems with the internet provider, so they decided, well, you know what? We'll do our own internet service. So the nursing home started its own ISP. And then they extended it to all the employees in the nursing home, and that caught on. So then they actually started selling the service.
Oh, jeez.
So incredible. Actually, when you came up through Kearsarge,
yeah,
you came up on a restaurant on your right called the Hut Inn. It has a very Frank Lloyd Wright type architecture to it.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the Hut Inn, the Hut Inn is just a really good family restaurant in Kearsarge, if anybody happens to be coming up here. They might even have fudge. I don't know. But the entire basement of the Hut is a server farm.
Really?
Underneath the restaurant is where the fiber comes, and there's a server farm there. And then behind the Hut is a USDA-approved kitchen, and that's where they make and sell pasties.
Oh,
and they're shipped out FedEx and UPS every day.
Unbelievable. Okay. That's incredible. That.
But yeah, this internet service actually that I'm associated with, it's employee owned, member owned, and non for profit, started out by a assisted living and nursing home.
That's awesome.
It's a very big change for, you know, that an interesting start for a high tech business.
Wow. that's only in Upper, in the Upper Peninsula.
Yep. That happened.
So from baked goods to internet.
Yeah. And it's funny,
you betcha.
Because people would say, wow, how, you know, but now that Joel and I have been up there, we could say, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've been up there. Yep. Yeah, I could see that happening.
You need one? Build it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the mentality.
Well, you weren't too far off the haircuts and everything else because it was an assisted living home. They had everything there.
Yeah. That's incredible. That's an incredible story. Jeez. Wow. All right, well, Barty, let's hear about your Samsung Galaxy S5.
Is that a work phone? Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is. And it's replacing, begrudgingly, the 4S phone that is, unfortunately, just coming to pieces. Man, I tell you, I've trashed two iPhones in a row. I had an iPhone 5 that I just absolutely loved. I let it go swimming, and it died a very slow death. I won't go into the details, but when I told the company that I needed to have this replaced, I was, of course, out of cycle. So all they would do is find me whatever they had laying around that was free, and they sent me this 4S, which I didn't have a problem with. The 4S was nice, but, I mean, obviously it wasn't as nice as the 5, which looked like a little miniature version of the monolith from 2000, from the Space Odyssey movie, which I just love that movie. But anyway, I don't know if any of you guys are into Stanley Kubrick at all.
Oh, yeah.
But,
if you saw one of my comments about the 6, I said, I don't want to say it's big, but when I held it upright, there was a group of monkey or apes that came around, formed a semicircle, and started throwing bones up in the air, you know.
Yeah. That's the way I felt about the original 5, because it was a black thing, and it would sit by itself right on the desk, and it just looked like a miniature version of the monolith, you know. So I just kind of dug that. But anyway, the 4S was fine. I enjoyed it, but it unfortunately fell on the floor of my garage, which is cement, and just cracked the back glass.
Oh, is that what you called it? It fell on the floor.
Yeah, well,
accidentally.
It fell off. Okay. My backpack pocket was unzipped, and when I picked it up out of the Jeep, it went flying with a number of other items. And when it hit the floor, it didn't do as good as the other items.
That's because you didn't have a case on it.
You know that back glass?
Yeah, exactly.
Of the 4S,
I just don't have a case on it.
The 4S glass is replaceable with two screws. Take two screws out the bottom, the whole back glass comes off.
It's a company phone.
It's a company phone. I can't do that. So, so the glass was starting to come off, so I put a big piece of cellophane about the size of the back across it to keep the glass in place.
Yeah.
And I've been using it for a number of months that way, and the tape eventually wore off bad enough so where I could get the rest of it off, and I put another piece on, and now that's starting to wear off, and glass is starting to fall off, and I was like, well, I can't keep going like this before the phone starts to be affected. So, I was finally eligible for an upgrade, but of course they won't give me a 5S. They'll only give me a 5C, and I was like, well, I don't really want a 5C. I want something. So I figured I'd go for something with a larger screen, and the Samsung S5 was free, so I opted for that. And I asked for that with an extra battery and with a accessory charger in the car, and I got all those items. I will tell you, without a doubt, having owned this thing for over a month now, that the whole Samsung ad campaign making fun of wall crawlers or wall huggers is total and complete bullshit. This phone does not hold a charge anywhere near what the 4S did. I don't know how they're managing to make their batteries last, unless maybe they're saying that you buy extra batteries and you can keep slapping in extra batteries every time one dies.
I think that's what they're saying.
That's the only way you can make this stupid. Yeah, but that's a pain in the ass. Who wants to do that? I've got the extra battery, and I've got it charged. But when it starts to die, I start looking for a way to charge it because I don't want to go through the trouble of putting in another battery. Screw that, you know? That's a pain in the ass. But the phone itself is a nice phone. I like it. It works okay. But, you know, compared to an iPhone, I have to say, just like when with the Nexus 7, it was a nice I still have it, and I use it. I like the Nexus 7. But compared to the appropriate or the most close Apple product, it doesn't seem like it's quite complete. It doesn't seem like it's finished. When you hold an Apple product and use it, it seems like with other, you know, maybe mainly with some things that bug you or irritate you, like, you know, Joel's got a problem with iOS 8. Well,
I think Joel's isn't just finished. It's done.
It's dead, yeah. But for the most part, comparing like an Android device with with an Apple device, the Android doesn't seem like it's quite done. You know, there are things that are nice about it, things that I like the fact that all the apps update automatically without you having to bothering to say, yeah, I want this updated. With my Apple devices, they all pile up. You have to go to the App Store thing and they click on the update thing and says, yeah, update this shit. You know, I don't want to bother with that crap. If you got an update to something I've got on the phone that's not going to cost me anything, just update the bastard. You know? And that's what the Android does well. Both the Nexus 7 and this a Samsung phone, they automatically update everything. So you never have to worry about it. You're always getting the latest stuff. The
iOS does that too now, doesn't it?
No.
Really?
No. That was all of my iOS stuff. All my iOS stuff will just collect up, and I have to go tell it, yeah, update everything.
Mine does. Mine updates automatically. I don't know whether
you get a notice that says all these apps have been updated.
Yeah, I get, you know, I get a little blue dot next to the apps that have been updated.
And
on the screen,
just happens automatically.
Yeah,
because that doesn't happen to any of my iOS stuff.
I don't know. See if there's a setting for that, because that was one of the features of iOS 7 when it came out, is that it was supposed to automatically update. You can set it to automatically update.
So. There is a setting for it. Under settings, it's called
background update.
It will just do it automatically.
Yeah.
Over your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, that was a big feature of the iOS 7 when it came out.
Yeah, because I've never had any of my iOS devices ever automatically update. Wow. You know, and that's one of the things that I really liked about the Nexus 7 and made me start using it more, was because I knew everything was always going to be updated. And yeah, the same thing happens.
If you actually go to your settings, not that you can anymore because you don't have it, and go iTunes and App Store, scroll to the bottom of the screen, and there's a switch that says automatic downloads, and just click on it, and it's all updates for all apps.
Okay, but only for the ones that are on your phone, not just everything, right?
Well, for everything that's on your phone, if there's an update for it, it'll update it.
Yeah, but I don't want things that are new to my iTunes library being downloaded to every device.
I automatically download new purchases, including free and made on other devices. That's what it says by definition.
Ooh, no, see, I don't want that. Because if my wife downloads something to her iPad or her iPhone, I don't necessarily want the same thing showing up on my iPad.
Well, then you need to investigate the family share.
That's family share. You shut the family share off.
Yeah, see, the Android is different. The Android is like, if you've got it on your particular device and an update comes up for that item on your device, it gets updated. And if something new shows up on some other device, your device doesn't get that.
Now, I will say, I know that works on the Nexus 7 because stuff does automatically get updated. But I will say, not everything gets automatically updated because I'll get notifications that say, there's stuff to be updated and it's because you got to answer a question. Like,
you know, you have to give her permission because it's a Facebook kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's
a
downside to that, by the way. On the Nexus 7, it's hard to turn off automatic updates. And the reason why that's a downside is because I use the Nexus 7, and actually now Mark does, for Ingress. And it's being used off a hotspot. And what I don't want it doing is deciding to refresh all of its apps off of my data plan. So you got to be careful of that, because the Nexus 7 is, you know, you're playing Ingress and things are just going along just fine without realizing that it's also updating all of the other apps on the Nexus 7 on the data plan.
I experienced that this week because I went back to playing Ingress on my Nexus 7 because, well, the reason being is because Niantic has not updated Ingress for the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, and there is a display issue. And all my other apps have updated. Matter of fact, the day iOS 8 came out, most of my apps had an update. Matter of fact, they were updating up in Copper Harbor. But Niantic is yet to come out with a fix. They're aware of the problem, and they're looking into it, but it's been, close to a month or 3 weeks now. Well, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
What kind of problem they have in iOS 8?
It's not, I don't think it's a problem on the 5.5S. It's the new bigger screen, 6 and 6 Plus.
I use it on my iPad.
Well, different things, 6 and 6 Plus. You look at the display for Ingress, and it's the size that goes on a 5 or a 5S. And the only problem is the touch part doesn't match up with what's being displayed. So, you know, if you're going up to the upper left-hand corner to pick to find out what your stats are, you can't select the button in the smaller display. You've got to actually go up where it's not being displayed in the upper left-hand corner and hit there, and then it'll display the stuff. And if you bring up the comms window, it totally locks Ingress up completely. They are aware of the problem. They have not been fast about getting a fix out.
I've had that lock-up problem happen on my iPad with the comms button. Where I've tapped comms and it's locked up the Ingress app, and I've had to exit it and clear it from memory and then restart it.
Well, let me put it nicely about Ingress. It is a game I love to play, but I will have to say that the actual software for the scanner, that's what it's called, it's the Ingress scanner, sucks.
It sucks.
And it sucks both platforms.
Yeah, it really is really sucky.
Yeah.
I have to agree, because it's only barely right. Usable.
And now they're having issues with today, especially. I've had issues for the past 2 or 3 days, but today especially, everybody was bitching you couldn't connect to a server. So they're having some major, I think they're having growth issues. Because,
yeah, and on the iOS side, one thing that really torques the heck out of me is, and they still don't have it fixed after the last update, is if you go use a resource to take over a portal, use an XMP weapon, whatever, deploy resonators, if you take that out of your inventory to deploy it and the communication doesn't go through and it times out, you've lost that item.
Oh wow!
Oh, really?
It doesn't check to see if the transaction completes, and if the transaction fails, it doesn't put it back in your inventory. You've just lost it.
See, I haven't had that. Well, I've been playing on the Nexus 7, and I've had
iOS.
Okay, okay. I haven't checked that on iOS, but Nexus 7, if it doesn't, you know, it looks like and the counter goes down for your XMP, but if it doesn't go through, you look back and the XMP is back in your inventory. So
right, but on iOS, I can guarantee you because it's happened to me numerous times. Okay. I've lost resonators, XMPs, and portal keys.
Yeah,
I've gone to set up a link when I only had one portal key to complete the field.
Yeah,
and hey, Joel, where's our Ingress alert?
Oh yeah,
we should be warning our other listeners.
I need to put one.
Oh, Ingress, quick, fast forward.
Okay, thank you.
It's actually too late now.
Too late.
We actually really need to make a bumper for that.
I'm thinking about that.
I keep thinking about that. Every time I hear it on the show, it's like, we really need a bumper for that.
I'm going to make one.
To warn users that you might want to fast forward.
Yeah.
And then give them a timetable. For the next 2 minutes, 37 seconds, fast forward.
Well, that'd be Barry's thing. He'd have to
measure. Yeah, I'd have to do that and post edit.
Yeah, that'd be a pain in the ass for Barry. But anyway, overall, I'm happy with the Galaxy S5. Okay. It's a nice phone. It's the things I missed are that I can't make ringtones in GarageBand and throw it to the phone. I'm sure there must be some way to get it there, roundabout, but it doesn't happen automatically like it does in the Apple universe. Mm. But it's a decent enough phone and it works okay. Well, the ringtones that come with it all sound like sissy noises. I mean, none of them are like, well, it does. You know, it's all these cutesy little sounds. You know, it's almost like a girl's phone.
I just wanted to point out for you and our listeners, download Zedge, Zdege. You go to Zedge,
okay.
And it will give you all the free ringers you want.
And that's on both platforms.
Yep. All I really want is just an old-fashioned telephone ring.
Oh, they've got it.
My iPhone.
There's hundreds of them there.
Yeah, they've got it.
So
it's a great app.
But next up, today in music news, Fleetwood Mac has finally gotten all back together.
Really?
The way they had back in Rumors days. When the Rumors album came out, they are now together. And Mick Fleetwood said that there's a sense of completeness about them now. And they're hitting the road and they're touring with the big hit band that they had back when Rumors came out.
Wow.
They've all set their differences aside and gotten back together.
Nice. Nobody's dead yet?
Well, they're getting there. They're all old, let's face it, even the Rolling Stones are like a retirement age now, but they're still kicking ass.
Now, are they sure it's really Stevie Nicks and not a goat?
Well, I mean, is Stevie Nicks really not a goat?
I'm sorry, that's a South Park reference there.
Oh, I never listened to South Park.
You got to see that one sometimes.
But on the sad note, this is the day in 1970 that Janis Joplin died of a heroin overdose, which, you know, I'm still pissed at her for doing that because she was just on a cusp of... she was turning a corner in her career that you really kind of wonder what was going to come next, you know? After Pearl and things, she was really starting to move in another direction, and then she went and did this. So you kind of wonder what could have been. But on a positive note, on this day in 1979, Jimmy Buffett got his picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Wow!
And he was just a hippie dude at the time that people barely knew who he was. Cheeseburger in Paradise made him famous. Who would have thought it?
And to this day, he's still entertaining parrot heads all over the world.
Exactly. He has the weirdest audience and has always had of any entertainer. People show up in grass skirts at his concert. They show up with bras made out of coconuts. They show up with shark fins on their heads and on their backs. I mean, it's the weirdest collection of people ever. And, you know, you got to give it to him, man. The guy has built an entertainment empire over a collection of, you know, funny songs. More power to him.
Wasting away in Margaritaville, one of my favorites.
Yeah, really. But getting back to tech, GoPro is moving on and have introduced a new series of cameras. They come out with a GoPro 4 that improves upon the 3 Plus, but they are they are really doing the Apple formula for trying to move ahead. They are increasing the price of their flagship model. The GoPro 4 will now be, I think it's like $600 now. And they've eliminated a lot of intermediary models. And they have a cheap entry-level model that you can get. And they're really pressing ahead now that they've had an IPO and things like that. And I have to admit that I profited on the IPO. I invested a number of funds, and when I doubled my money, I got out. But, yeah, it worked out well for me, and I probably should have held on to see what would happen after the GoPro 4. But, hey, I wasn't in on that news. But looks like GoPro is going to continue to be a major force in small modeled video, but it's all high def stuff, and it's all 4K compatible. So you can really make some incredible videos from these little itty bitty tiny cameras. So I think that people really ought to pay attention to what's going on with GoPros, and I think that if you can afford to get some of the like three plus type models, because they're going to probably show up on clearance, you ought to scarf them up, because they are. I've got a 3 Plus Black Edition, and it is a totally incredible camera for the tiny size that it has. The things that it can do are just amazing, and it's all in high def. And you can film in 4K, but at lower what do they call that? The film rate speeds, but high def is still at full high def camera rates, which are really kind of cool. So I don't know. I think anybody that's really into video really should look at what GoPro has to offer, because they're really great. And Michael is sounding like he's into a Cheap Trick these days with hello kitties. Michael?
Yeah, I'm here.
There's always a delay.
Well, it has to go all the way out to Copper Harbor, you know, up to the end of, we'll call it a finger.
Yeah, stay over in Toledo for a bit.
No, let's not go back to Toledo. After what you guys said about Toledo, the best pass that. So what's okay. with hello,
anyhow,
hello?
My note on that has to do with lo.co.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say it's new, although it's really getting a lot of publicity recently, and that's the new social network. And
yes, and thank you for the invite. I got accepted.
And, yeah, and if right you heard the latest, yep. Well, I just got my invite today, thanks to Anthony. And because if you sign up for LO right now, there's a waiting list, and I don't know how long it is. They're getting like 40,000 requests an hour.
I signed up for it at the beginning of the week because it's new and I have to see what it's about. And there's a waiting list.
Right.
So I was on the waiting list, and then I was happy that, I got the invite. And so I got to go check it out after we're done the show.
Yeah, and I haven't had a lot of time to check it out yet, but since I have literally cut the cord with Facebook, at least the manifesto that Elo has put out, that, no advertising, all the stuff that I don't like about Facebook, this right. organization seems to be trying to address. I don't know if they're doing it successfully, but I figured I'd give it a try. I mean, I personally, and I've talked about this in the other podcasts that I'm doing, that I personally like Google+. I know a lot of people find it overwhelming, especially if they get in it without narrowing things down in circles. You just get this whole fire hose thrown at you, and people just throw their hands up in the air and walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm not going away from Google+ at all. I'm very happy with that. But I thought, we'll give this a shot and see what it's
about.
Like. It's a very, very understated interface. That's one thing you'll notice right away when you get into it.
Yeah. Again, I haven't had a chance to go in and take a look at it. I read the concept, on their page when I signed up for it. And again, I'm just doing it because it's new. I got to check it out.
And I do have more invites, by the way, but I didn't want to send them to Barty and Joel without asking them first. So
I'd be interested in checking it out.
I'm sorry?
I'd be interested in checking it out.
Sure, I'll send you one. And
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay.
I heard Anthony and Dave and Bob talking about it, and I thought, all right, well, what's this all about? I you guys know my staunch stance against Facebook, and I have never had one. The best thing I ever did was never get one. Because everybody I've ever met who's got one at some point in time, you go, the hell's the matter with you? They're walking around pissed off. Jerk, blah, 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 said such and such and so. And I'm like, you know, and you look, and I've said, you mean that complete stranger 117 times removed from you managed to get under your skin? Well, yeah. Who the hell cares? You're a stranger.
Yeah, I heard those guys talking about that as well, but I wasn't really sure what they were. I didn't really understand what they were talking about. And as far as Facebook, I'm on Facebook, but I have two Facebook accounts, one for my Bardycast when I was dealing with bands and things like that.
Right.
And those bands still talk to me now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
but I've also got a personal one where I've got you know, family and friends and people that I've been assigned with that across the 20 years I was in the Air Force. I mean, all these people are all on Facebook.
See, I think that's what the cool thing is about that Facebook had to offer. And like you guys have educated me. And then they started throwing a ton, and my wife as well, a ton of advertising.
Yeah.
Then they start selecting what you do and don't see. And
right.
Like, well, wait a minute. That's where it lost us.
I hate that stuff about them. I will admit that I totally hate that about them. I hate the fact that they try to suck every piece of personal information from you that they can so they can turn it around and sell it to people and try to market ads towards you.
Yeah.
You know, but I have like minimal personal information on there.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that bugs me about Facebook is that I'm in contact with people that I like, that I appreciate being in contact with, and then if I just went to just only Google Plus, I would lose contact with these people because they don't understand Google Plus.
Right.
You know, and to be quite frank, I'm one of the people that Michael talks about that is overwhelmed with a fire hose full of stuff that I don't even know how got turned on in the first place, let alone how I can turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some of the people I like hearing from on Google Plus, I get all their stuff, but I get a whole river worth of stuff from people I don't even know who the hell they are and
how
it's coming to me.
We'll have to teach you how to offline, as we say at work.
Yeah,
we'll have to teach you how to tune it up because it's very tunable.
Excuse me, I gotta go get another two beers.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that way from day one.
Yeah.
You know, and like Facebook, I hate it, but it's the only way that I can stay in contact with all these people that, you know, I knew during my 20 years in the military across all these different assignments that
I
think are, you know, I'll stay with it just so I can be in contact with them. I'll hate every minute that I have to be there because I hate what Facebook does and what they represent because they totally suck.
I totally agree with you, Barney. And when Michael went off, decided to go off of it, I was looking at, because I was getting very frustrated too, because I do have lots of friends on there that are, you know, they're not close friends, but they were friends from the past that I rekindled relationships with. And it's nice to hear from them, even though we've been apart, especially with the military, because, you know, like you, the part of the military I was in, we went all over the world, and then these people settled in different places. Most of them are retired now, but they're all over the world / United States, so it's nice to have a place, and they all use Facebook, so I doubt I'm ever going to quit it, but I will tell you that in the past, until they started the advertising thing, and before they started limiting limiting what you can see. You don't get to see everybody's posts. They just select stuff, and I don't know if it's random or not. I you know, yes, it does suck, and that's why I'm quite upset with it. So now, I used to look at it every day. Now I don't. In fact, I'm lucky if I look at it once a week, and the only time I really pay attention is if I get a notification from a friend that they posted something or they mentioned my name or something like that, I will go look at that. And then while I'm in there, I might peruse a little bit through my feed to see if anybody else is saying anything, but I'm pretty much done with it. I'm more on the Google Plus side of things right now. because I've got a bunch of, you know, you guys, and I like the fact that we can have a private community, we can have a public community, you know, we can still control who comes into the public community. And then you've got just the feed with everybody in it, or you can just create circles of people you want to pay attention to, and then just look at those circles. It's so filterable, but you see everything, and you have total control over Google Plus. But yes, it's not, you have to read up on it, and you have to figure out how it works. And it's a little nerve-wracking in the beginning, because you don't want to accidentally send a message out, say, to public. You know, you want to make sure it's going where you want it to go.
Yeah,
so you
really
got to be careful, because they will let you send it out to the world, or, you know, send it to just a certain community, or send it to a certain circle.
Right.
But you got to learn it. And for the average Joe Schmo, they're not going to want to learn it. Yes, as Michael says, I don't know what Allo is all about, but I'm willing to take a look at it.
Yeah, so
I'm encouraged by the fact that Allo is getting a lot of attention. I think it has a chance for the general public because the amount of attention it's getting. I mean, things, you know, I explained before, but, you know, the final straw for me for Facebook was when they split out Messenger and started trying to force me to use that. And like, you know what? Dude, the last thing that I was holding on to Facebook for was for some people use messaging to get to me, but I'll, you know, be damned if I'm going to go ahead and install yet one more app from Facebook just so I can message people.
I heard a good.
And yeah, it was a cost versus benefits. Yes, there's some things I'm going to miss about Facebook, and a lot of it is the casual friends that I haven't, you know, and even family members, distant family members that I contact through Facebook, but I really don't talk to them that often.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they'll make the jump to Google Plus. They might make the jump to Allo if it continues to be you know, publicized. But people have got a short memory. I mean, it's the third time that Facebook did the huge security and personal information breach. And then, you know, did the mea culpa. And the third time, they're under government monitoring about some of the stuff they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget about it. And that the first, you know, the third time it happened, I dropped my account then. And the only reason why I came back was because at one point it was the only common interface between both of our sons, my wife and myself, that we could, you know, talk to our kids on their various devices.
Right.
Now we can all talk on iMessage and we can all talk on Hangout.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I find that Hangout works as well, if not better, than Facebook Messenger without having to carry all the baggage that comes along with it.
Yep.
So when they tried to force me into using Messenger, I said, that's it. I'm done.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of friends here in town are like, no, you don't really mean that, Mike. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And I found it comical because some people actually came and searched me out at the bar and say, you're not in Facebook anymore. How are we going to talk to you? I was like, well, you're standing in front of me right now, aren't you? Yeah. There's 90 people in this town. I'm not that hard to find.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
I'll get off of the subject. But yeah, it's,
yes.
Yeah, there's going to be some people who might take a little while for them to track me down. And if I really want to talk to them, I have a better chance of tracking them down than them tracking me down because I know how to find them.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I got to comment in here. That was one of the things that it freaking amazed me when we were up in Copper Harbor. And you walk into a public place like, you know, the Mariner North, you know, you go into the restaurant and bar area and you walk in and there's, you know, the room full of people. The place is crowded and pretty much Michael's saying hello to everybody by name and they're saying hello to Michael back by name. Everybody in the place, you know, and you go across the street, you go into the Zeke's, and same thing. And then you go to the brewery, Brookside Brewery, same thing. You go to the market, same thing. You go into the store, the souvenir store, same thing, you know. It's just, you know, you go into the fudge shop, same thing.
Or if you go into the shop that sells fudge.
Yes, it's the shop that sells fudge. And by the way, my wife loves the fudge. She says,
well,
She goes, this is the best fudge I've had because it's a little bit different than the normal fudge you're used to. And it's full of flavor. It's not as super sweet as other fudge. She goes, this is phenomenal fudge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. And they make it year-round here, so yeah. I can ship it to you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to keep that in mind because, yes, I said, well, I'll tell you, I took some of the samples there, and I said, I got to take a pound home with me. You know. So, yeah, she's pretty much, I keep forgetting that it's in the house, and I think it's
it was
more
in
than
the house.
Halfway.
It was.
Gone. Yeah. So. Yeah, I just had to get that in. Sorry.
I mean, it's the point where, I mean, the island is about 50 miles long, and you've got US 41 going up the spine of the island. Mm-hmm. But going down the road, 40 miles from here, you see, oh, there's Stacy's Jeep, or you know, there's so and so's Saturn, or uh-huh. We all know each other. Even 50 miles from here, we're waving at each other, and it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's our car.
You even take the time to go get the drunk zone. Make sure they drink it up safe.
Yeah. We have our own dial-a-ride here.
It's called Michael.
Well, not just me, but yeah. It saves me a trip later as a paramedic.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you get paid doing it as a paramedic, don't you?
They actually got to see that firsthand.
It's a little preventative medicine.
Yeah.
We did get to see that firsthand. That was I don't want to say it was amusing, but it was different. That's for sure. And Michael's spidey sensors went up. You know, we're out there. We're not even really paying attention. All of a sudden, Michael's spidey sensors go off. He goes, uh-oh, I'll be back in a minute, guys. Something's going on here. And I was like, Joel and I were like, what? What? What's going on?
Well, some of it, the scenario was obvious. I'm not going to go into detail.
Yeah.
Which is what grabbed his attention.
Yeah.
And then mine, because it involved two wheels. And so, but that being, you know, without going into any greater detail, I will say, yeah, that dial-a-ride system for Copper Harbor is a pretty cool one, because the guy I was sitting next to at Zix, who was telling me about how he gave so-and-so a ride home, and the guy fell down through his front door and came in the next day and said, how the hell did I get this shiner on my head? He goes, you don't remember falling into the side of my expedition? Yeah. Like, but I got you home safe and sound, brother. That's all that matters. And I said to myself, no, that's really cool. And someone's like, you know what? Come on, let's give you a ride home. You know, I think that's so cool. You're not going to get that in a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
No, but, no, it's got that very Andy of Mayberry type feel here.
Yes, it does. Yes it does.
Well, unfortunately, guys, I got to be bailing. I've got an early departure in the morning, and have to be hitting the hay. Okay. And so I can get up early enough to wrap up and hit the road.
Business trip?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell you more about it offline.
Okay.
I probably won't make next Saturday because I'll be coming back then, and by the time I get home, I think it'll probably be too late to make the show.
Okay. Well, if you can, make it. So, but
hey, Barty. 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 Oh. Thanks for all the encouragement this week. Thanks for the encouragement.
Hey, no problem, man.
But since you're bailing, I would we'll single you out. Chris really appreciates it.
Well, that's good because you know my wife and I are both continuing to pray for both of you and send you good vibes and hope that things turn around and get better for both of you, especially her. But you know we both know that this is just as hard on you since you're the one that's running all around and you know trying to maintain things and. It's not easy where you are and the distances you have to travel to get things done. So we understand those kind of things. Because we're kind of in the same boat here, you know.
Yeah. I think we have we share some similar territory there.
Yeah. Well, we're not as remote as you are by any means, but we have some very similar similarities. Hmm. So, but we feel for you, man, and hope the best for both of you, you know, and your boys. So, but appreciate that.
All right. Well, you have a good night. Have a safe trip.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike.
Exactly.
Take it easy, Barty.
Hey, you two guys, take it easy and take care of yourselves there.
Okay.
So good talking with all three of you.
Yep.
Really appreciated it.
Safe trip and see you on iMessage or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Barty, also, if you don't have it, download WhatsApp too, because we can, you know, both of them, I like WhatsApp, and you know, if you, especially if you got the Samsung phone, we could always switch over because WhatsApp's on both platforms.
It works across all platforms.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't downloaded that, but I definitely will. I get iMessage on my iPad, and that comes through okay.
Okay.
You know what's funny with that? On my desktop, it doesn't tell me who's posting what. It just shows a gray head on the desktop, and I was like, well, who the hell is? Sometimes you can tell who's saying it, because obviously Joel has a very unique vernacular, shall we say.
Really?
So, you know, whenever Joe's saying things, I know it's him. Hmm. But some of the times, it's really kind of hard to tell, whereas on the iPad, it tells me. It puts down the initials of who's posting what, which I think is kind of funny, the difference between the two. You know, maybe that'll get changed when Yosemite comes out. Maybe it'll be more iOS 8 centric and actually tell you who the hell's posting things in a multi-person conversation.
Yeah, seriously. Huh. I didn't notice that on mine.
On the desktop?
On the desktop. I'm taking a look right now. Oh, yes. No, mine says the name underneath.
Running Mavericks or Yosemite?
Mavericks.
Huh? Because on my Mavericks, it doesn't. I haven't tried it on Yosemite.
Yeah, mine. Like, of course, you don't have a picture up there, but mine shows the picture of the person, and then underneath, it's got the name. It's actually got the their address of what they're logged in as.
Huh? Really? I wonder if there's a setting I'm missing, because on my desktop, it shows the conversation.
Yeah, mine actually has. Mine has names too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Check your settings, Barty, because it's working here.
Yeah, really. All right, guys.
Okay.
I'll catch you all later.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, anyway, okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that, too, between the new iMessage is pretty cool. But it's just a copy of WhatsApp so, I mean, we've been using iMessage and that's fine with me. I don't know whether they have a desktop version of WhatsApp. My only problem when everybody uses iMessage is, during the day, I don't get anything until I get out of work.
Right.
And even if it was available on my desktop, I'm sure the company would block it. So I'm the only thing I can look at during the day is I can look at the communities and things like that in Google Plus, but and I have that problem with the Ingress community too, because they all use Hangouts and Hangouts is blocked.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yeah, instant messaging at work. Yeah, I sit there, I get in the car, and I'm sitting there for 10 minutes catching up on Hangouts and iMessages, and you know, after a day work at work where I can't, you know, sneak a peek during the day. So,
well, look at that in the news: Facebook's $19 billion WhatsApp takeover bid approved by the EU 2 days ago.
Actually, yes, Facebook does or is going to own WhatsApp. They claim they're not going to change it.
Ha!
But I meant to tell you that, Joel, because I'm a little nervous about that. It's a great, it's a great app, and Facebook claims they're not going to do anything with it. Now they've left. What's the other one they own?
Is Instagram.
It Instagram? They haven't really touched Instagram. They left that alone. So we'll see what happens there.
You're just going to farm it for your personal information.
Well, yeah. Well, hell, Google does that. Anything you do on Google, they're farming it for information. So,
sorry about that. I was chewing on a Cool Ranch Dorito. By the way, I wanted a sidebar. Thank you very much, guys, for Anthony and again Bob and Dr. Dave, because I will listen to their podcast, and they started talking about the different type of bag crunchy snack foods you can have, and I had never craved a bag of potato chips so bad in my life while driving. And then I was listening to those guys because they were talking about the different flavors and this and that. And I thought about it. I was listening to it again today, and I'm like, ooh, a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos kind of would be nice. Well, that's what I'm chewing on right now. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for the heads up, because I'm way behind on my podcast, and I'm desperately trying to catch up. And as you guys know, that's another thing. I'm using Pocket Cast now because it's cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it seems to be working fine in iOS 8 as opposed to Downcaster, which I know Michael mentioned he has issues, but there was an update for Pocket Cast, and it seems to be working fine. I will tell you a little incident that I had with that, though, this week, because I am way behind. I've got like 300 podcasts on my list to listen to, okay? Well, of course, when I got home, I had my Nexus 7 on the trip, too, and when I got home, my new iPhone 6 was downloading like crazy, you know, all the podcasts that hadn't been downloaded, and my Nexus 7 started downloading all of them. Well, 300 podcasts, I look at my all of a sudden, my Nexus 7 stops working. It keeps telling me it can't run things and this and that. And another annoying thing about Nexus 7, and I don't know what happened, but it actually deleted some of my apps off of it. Wow. And the problem was, is I totally used up all the memory. And I went in to look at what was, you know, causing all this problem. It was Pocket Cast. It had 21 gigs of podcasts on it. And of course, I think it's only 32 gigs. So between, you know, the rest of the stuff was taken up by apps and their data. But I had 21 gigs of so that. And it was funny. I said, oh. And so I went over to the new iPhone 6. Of course, I got the 6 Plus. I got the 128 gig. I pop open and look at their size. Of course, it's got the same amount of podcasts. And it's taken up, you know, 21 gigs of space. But it was like, yeah, about 10% of the memory. Wow. So what I had to do was go into Pocket Cast, and I had to go in and delete all the files, the download files. Pocket Cast, like Downcast, allows you to either stream it or download it. So on the Nexus 7 now, I've set it up so that it's streaming only. When you go to stream it, you can take the option to download that individual podcast if you want to. So I'm going to leave it like that because it fills up the Nexus 7 too fast with podcasts, especially when go on a trip like this and I get behind on my listening. And I've got to weed out what I'm listening to too. It's actually the video cast I got to weed out because they're like 200-300 meg a pop when they come in. So anyway, that was another little tech thing that was it's funny. Totally maxed out my Nexus 7, 10%, less than 10% on the new iPhone 6. But we're going on to the next thing, which is Joel has a new family member.
Yes, we do. And the new family member actually is currently crashed out on the love seat. Yeah. And he happens to be a little terrier by the name of John Hamish Watson.
John Hamish Watson. Now, is that his name or did you guys give him that name?
No, that's his name. We named him that.
Okay.
Watson for short.
Wow, that's a cool name. And we saw pictures, and he's a cool-looking dog.
Yes, he is a rescue. My beautiful bride told me, you know, reminded me a couple days ago that she's like, hey, I got to go over to the Anheuser-Busch plant. In Merrimack, they have a charity 5K. Mm-hmm. For the animal shelter, no kill animal shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Around the country. And so she said, you know, having, you know, just recently herself got off having surgery, she's not cleared to run yet,
right?
But she can walk,
right?
She's like, I'll just walk it. And I'm like, oh, cool, all right, babe. And I said, you know, what myself thinking, having the best intentions of all, I'll walk it with her. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the bourbon from last night kicked in, and I slept right past when she got up and left. So I also went to bed way late. So she goes and she did the walk, and you know, I get up and blah 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 blah, and then tooling around the house with the cats, and just me, and at one point I'm like, oh, she ought to be getting home pretty soon. And I hear, you know, the kitchen door open, and across she goes, and through the dining room, and over here into the living room, and what in her hand do I see but Mr. John Hamish Watson? A 12.5-pound terrier, who has got to be, hands down, the most polite dog I have ever met in my life.
Wow.
He's house trained. He knows plenty of commands. He knows his name is Watson now, because you call him Watson and he perks right up. Cool. His original name was, Jesus, what was it? Papa. Now, they say, well, how the hell do you have a name named Papa? He doesn't look like a Papa. But he came from San Antonio, Texas, 6 days ago.
Wow. That's a long car ride.
Yes, it is. When she adopted him from the Humane Society, the San Antonio Humane Society, which periodically makes trips around the country, and they bring pets to be adopted from the San Antonio, Texas area, San Antonio and other surrounding town areas.
Yes.
This time it happened to be New England.
Yep.
So he has all his shots. He's microchipped. Mm-hmm. Got all his paperwork, his pedigree, all that jazz, and long, long, long trip to come from San Antonio all the way up here.
Yeah.
But absolutely one of the most pleasant little people. Well, obviously it's a dog, but he's one of the most pleasant little people you'd ever want to meet.
He's a people. He's a family member now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he does bark with us a Texan accent, which is, I think, it's cute, but we wouldn't really know because he hasn't barked yet.
Oh, really? Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, he made a grr noise.
Yeah.
I went out to sent pictures to the kids. You know, I call them kids. I mean, the young adults, but my children. And my daughter said, "Hey, I got to come over and meet him and so on and so forth." So I went out to go pick her up and bring her home. And when we came through the door, Debbie said that she had Watson on her lap, and the first noise he's made since 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
This afternoon, he kind of, his ears perked up. He went, and he saw it was me, and he went, oh, okay, poof, put his head back down. And it's like, wow, okay, so he's protecting, he's feeling this is his territory.
Yeah, that's nice. Boy.
So, yeah. Great. It's, you know, I'm excited. The girls, on the other hand, that would be the three cats that we have that are all sisters, three black cats. Minouche has investigated. I believe she was sent out as the scout.
Okay.
To investigate what is that said creature. She has gotten within 3 feet of him. I never knew a cat could arch its back quite that severe. but there's no ruckus. There was no fighting. He was around cats earlier in life, so he has no problem with cats.
Oh, but good.
My cats have never been around a dog.
Yeah. I was a little concerned when you said he was a terrier, because, you know, terriers like to hunt little small things.
Yeah.
But he's used to cats, that's good.
He's been around cats, so he's absolutely no issue whatsoever. It's been fun. The other two, then what happens is Minouche, she checks out, and then runs back to where the other two are hiding here in the office, and then reports back. And I've been watching this whole dialogue, basically unravel throughout the course of the day. And she fills them in and gives them status reports. And then she's, you know, like, hey, you got to go out again and find out what he likes to chew, you know, because we'll feed him and play with, give him some toys and play with him. And it's been interesting. So now they're starting to brave up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And venture beyond the office. So it's all cool. It's all fun. And I think, you know, in a couple of weeks, it'll be just as if it was always been this way, with all four of them running around.
Yeah, they'll get used to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm actually more worried about the cats ganging up on him.
That's true.
their strength in numbers.
Yes. Yeah, wow. Jeez. Well, that's so great. That is cool.
It's very cool, and it's funny. Debbie hits it. She goes, oh, my God. She goes, I thought you'd be pissed if I come home with a dog. I'm like, it's your house, too. Why would I be pissed? I mean, it's just, You know, he's just got to be able to get along with the cats because they were here first. It's just that simple. We raised them all from kittens.
Yep.
Literally, including birth, you know, assisting their mother giving birth to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So. Wow, that is cool. That's neat. So I guess we'll be hearing more stories about Mr. Watson.
Yes, yes, indeed. In and Michael, please, by all means, do send me an invitation to Ello, and because I'm feeling pretty good about this one, and I'd like to give it a whirl, and that's also where you'll probably see more pics of Mr. Watson.
Yeah. Again, I know absolutely nothing about it except for all the tech podcasts have been starting to talk about Ello, and we're waiting for their invitations, and some are on it, and they're trying to ramp this thing up slowly because all of a sudden there's an explosion of interest. So, I'll probably be jumping on there to just take a tool around and see what it's all about. So,
right. Well, I know Michael said he still had two invitations and he just wanted to check. So, I by all means, please send it to me and I'll sign up. I'll give it a try.
Yeah. So I guess we got ready for another edition of Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and I wanted to tell you folks a little bit about, well, how do I even begin? Wilson. Wilson has been a loyal friend. Wilson has been a faithful friend. And I'm getting a little tired of Wilson.
Oh, come on. Yes. Wilson lost all your love as soon as you got into the family truckster.
Well,
in Copper Harbor, and said, yeah. "Oh my God!"
I will say that when having the actual honor and privilege to drive the family truckster on not one, but I think on three occasions, I said to myself, well, actually, I said to anybody who was within earshot as well, "Yeah, I got to get me one of these." And so much so that, well, I spoke to, as much as I joked about that and as nice as I thought, well, it'd be great, but, you know, my wife and I were talking and saying, it had approached the subject where, you know, saying she needed a new vehicle, and she came back to me and it said, you know who really needs a new vehicle, who does the most driving? I'm like, chooses you. And I said, well, yeah. She said, you should get the next new vehicle, or new to the family. I'm not going to go out and buy brand new. And I said, okay. And then we can get Wilson all patched up and pass him along to our daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, my God, the window has just opened up. I might be able to go start looking for a family truckster of my own.
Too much.
So I actually got the official nod to start looking.
Cool. Oh, very so cool.
I'm excited. I'm just trying to do it smart. Wilson, in the meantime, he's kind of developed this, I don't want to call it, it's not a wobble, but there's something in the front end that I'm gonna jack it up tomorrow and try and find out what it felt like. It was a little squirrely, not loose, but squirrely. Uh-huh. And I actually felt that the night that I was driving back from when we returned from Copper Harbor, that night I was driving back and I'm like, man, I think this thing needs a wheel bearing because it felt a little weird, just a little bit, and it would come and go. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And I thought, well, easy enough. Whatever it is, I can fix it. But so that's one of the things I'm addressing. I'm going to actually start climb underneath Wilson tomorrow. We were supposed to have good weather today. Just rained all day.
Uh-huh.
At least here. And then try and find out what's acting a little, what might be worn. Get it all fixed up, repaired, patched up, and in tip-top shape. Pass it on and get myself a family truckster. Wow. Or something else. Because I'll be honest with you, I have. I looked at this. I've been thinking long and hard, and I'm like, you got to make a smart decision. You know, emotion aside, what makes the most sense? Because, let's face it, it's. I really don't necessarily haul anything heavy. Mm-hmm. I don't work in construction. I mean, well, besides my fat ass hauling around in the truck with a coffee, that's about the heaviest thing that I'm moving around. Mm-hmm. So I thought, and I, at the same time, too, do I really need four full-size doors? Because, well, my daughter already drives, and my son's getting his driver's license this July. Mm-hmm. They'll have their own cars. So the likelihood of having the four of us all climb into one vehicle and going somewhere at any one given time is pretty slim. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm sorting it out, but I keep gravitating back towards diesel. Whatever it is, it's going to be a four-wheel drive. And it has to be a truck because I really miss the idea. Even right now, I've got like some furniture that I wanted to move from our garage. Uh-huh. To my, you know, to a couple of different places for my wife, and I'm like, shit, I gotta actually think about calling somebody and seeing if I can borrow their truck or ask them for a hand to go move something that up until when I got rid of my Chevy was never an issue. Uh-huh. I wanted to move it, I threw it in a better truck and moved it. So I miss not having that capability, so it's gonna be a truck. But that's the speed of that one. It's kind of a boring bottom gear, but you know, we say, "Oh, I'm truck shopping."
I got to tell you that after riding in the family truckster, I came back home and you and I were discussing it on the way back a little bit here and there. And I, you know, I told my wife, you know, I really miss my F-150. You know, I said I should have probably never gotten rid of that thing for the purposes of, you know, the winter driving and the same thing, you know, it's like, oh, gotta go pick this up, and it's like, oh, you know, and I can't, yeah. You know, and my first person used to be, oh, I'll call Joel, because
I'll call Joel, he's gonna drive. He's gonna
drive. And Joel disappeared, you know, but oh man, what are we gonna do, you know.
I'll say this as well. I'm on, aside from being exactly on the very same page.
Yeah.
And I've always usually was the guy that people called me and said, "Hey, you got a truck?" And Joel always has a truck. Joel usually has two.
Yeah.
And I usually have an SUV and a pickup and then a car. And you know, now I'm just down to my car. You know, and one of the things I realized is that although I've said it a bunch of times. I may have to eat a little bit of my words on here. I want to stay away from Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I want a Dodge. Hmm. I want a diesel. But I don't know if it's going to be in the budget.
Hmm.
So it's I might have to make it be in the budget. Hmm. But one of the other things that helps me draw to this conclusion of how serious I am about this is I'm selling my bike.
Hmm.
So wow. It's reached the point realistically, and it's not because I want to buy a truck. But what it occurred to me earlier this week, I rode my bike a grand total of two times.
To think, did you even ride it up to my place?
Nope.
Not this
year. Yes, I did. One time when I got the inspection sticker put on it and you weren't there. You were getting ice cream.
Oh, okay. Was that this year?
Yep.
Okay.
I rode it up. Kenny put a sticker on it. Hung out. Rode it back. Parked it, haven't ridden it since.
Wow.
And it's not because I don't like riding. It's not, or I don't know what it is. It's just I don't have the desire to do it anymore.
Hmm.
Is it fun while I'm doing it? Sure. But the weird thing is, and again, maybe it's because I'm getting old. I don't know. I mean, I know it doesn't apply to anybody else or others necessarily, or you know, middle-aged guys or women or whatever. But I think about, you know, if I come off this thing, just how bad am I going to feel when I finally skid to a stop?
Yeah.
you know, I think of that. I think, all right, how many people are actually counting on me each and every day, family-wise, friends-wise, you know, to be there? And I'm not saying I'm going to get killed, ride my motorcycle. I don't think that's the case at all. But I do want to say I'm smart enough to realize, if you don't put yourself on one, then I don't have to worry about that being a problem now, do I?
Right.
And it won't be because I'm doing something stupid or hot dog, and it'll be someone who just doesn't see you coming.
Right.
It'll or a deer else. Jumps out on yep. a country road, and you just can't avoid it.
Right.
You know, now that doesn't say doing dangerous shit. I'm going to go snowmobiling like crazy this winter, so it's not like I'm not going to be riding anything with a handlebars.
Right, right.
It's just motorcycle, riding the street bike. I'm really sitting here thinking, and bottom line, as I had said, I mentioned it to my wife, how do you word it with the sound like I'm whining? But I don't think my knees can take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. a big, heavy bike, and after two knee surgeries on the left knee and one on the right, I really don't like the weight of that bike leaning on it when I'm sitting at a stoplight.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if you take all these things into account, factor it into the equation that I really would like to have a family truckster of my own,
uh-huh.
and you say to yourself, that's a smart logical move is to, you know, I got the Jeep in limbo, so there's my fun roof off, doors off, having yep. fun vehicle
yep.
project. And so, and I'm not in any rush to get it done.
Right. You know,
I get it done when it gets done.
Yep.
But in the interim, my family truckster, which is a diesel, would be pretty darn nice to have. So that's kind of where I'm headed.
Yeah. My conversation with my wife is, you know, I'm still looking for a snow vehicle or winter vehicle. And I said, yeah, I could, I'd be happy with a Ford, you know, but yeah. it has to have four-wheel drive. I said, I don't need an 8-foot bed, so I'd rather get an extended cab of some sort. I don't know whether I need a four-door extended cab because we don't have mm-hmm. family or kids.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a small bench seat where I could put the dog in the cab, or though if mm-hmm. I get a cap for it, I'll just throw the dog in the way back, you know.
Okay, a crew cab yeah. with a 6-foot box. That's
yeah.
all you need.
Yeah, and the 6-foot box would be plenty for me.
Because yeah. When you drop the tailgate down, you got the 8 feet. If
right.
you want to haul a sheet of drywall or a sheet
yeah.
of plywood, you just drop the tailgate
exactly.
down.
Exactly. But I said, I would love to have one of those again. And so, I don't know. Right now, I can't afford it, but it might be. And of course, I'm not going to buy brand new for a winter vehicle. I will still drive my Prius when I can, and I will have the truck for fun time and when the weather's bad, and I've got to get to work instead of spending half my vacation on snow days, which of course yeah. work doesn't like either. But
yeah, they get a little crappy when they go, oh great, a snowstorm's predicted. Well, we know Barry's not going to be here.
Exactly. So so yep, I mean, and all thanks to Michael. Thank you, Michael, for
yeah,
taking
you.
Us all over the place in the family truckster.
Glad to be a bad influence.
And thank Chris for having the patience and the fortitude to go out and get exactly what she wanted in a family truckster.
Yes, big time.
Because that is
yeah,
one nice machine. So,
what's
sorry.
That, Michael?
I said she spent a while looking for it. I mean,
yeah.
she went through and set the line ticket the way she wanted it, and then she went out and found a dealership that would order it for her.
Yeah. So, now, Michael, you've got a bottom gear.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got distracted here. Mark's done with work, so I'm going to have to go pick him up pretty soon.
Okay.
Well, as you were out here to help me pick up the Jeep, I haven't had a lot of time to drive it, but I will confirm after a couple of weeks, the death wobble is gone.
Nice.
Woo-hoo.
It's got... now I can concentrate in getting the rest of it fixed up the way I want it. But, you know, I was getting really frustrated putting money in it and not having the thing fixed.
Right.
But the death wobble is definitely gone, so I'm going to get some other things addressed. And as much as I love that Jeep, I think it's going to become David's because he's getting ready. His goal is to have his license by the end of the month.
Right, right. Okay, cool.
So
that's a perfect vehicle,
too. Get this thing in order.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's four-wheel drive. It's got a roll cage and airbags. What more could you ask for a teenager?
Right. Exactly. Especially with the kind of miles he'll be driving it, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it's always been a trustworthy vehicle. Even when it was sick, it got me to the last place it had to get me to until I went, okay, fix me now. It always got me. It always got me where I needed to go.
Yeah.
So I trust it.
Well, if I just fit better in the one that I'm working on, I'd just stick with that. But I'm kind of digressing off of bottom gear a little bit. But my daughter had informed me that she's got two universities that we've got to go take a look at and go to see that would like her to attend at their schools. One, the University of Michigan. The other, Michigan State. So I'm like, hey, you know what? We could jump into our own family truckster and comfortably make that trip.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. And if it's snowing, I need to be able to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, okay. I've got a little bit of a bottom gear story here. I mentioned it earlier before, but today we were going to the dump and jumped into the clown car and started it up. And yes, the maintenance light started flashing. I said, "Maintenance light? What the hell? I just had the oil changed, you know, before we went on the trip." And then I looked at the little sticker they put in there, and I said, "Oh yeah, we put like over 2,000 miles on it." On the trip, it's time for another oil change. So between that and a couple weeks, you know, traveling back and forth to work, it's time for yet another oil change.
Right.
I think it's going to Kenny this time though for the oil change. Yeah.
You know what, it's going to be a lot cheaper and he can reset that light.
Yeah, plus I need to go in the other story I have for bottom gear is I do have to see if he can work on that air conditioner for me.
Yeah.
Seriously, it does need a recharge. It's never been recharged since I had it. The car's 9 years old. Over 9 years
old. He'll fix the air conditioner, and there'll be a little sticker on the window that shows onion rings with a slash through it.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
But I was thinking about it because this week it did. The temperature got up pretty high. What was it? Thursday, I think it was. One of the days. I forget what day it was. But and I got in the car, and it took forever to cool down. And I said, yeah, this thing needs a charge. So I'll see what Kenny can do about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's very, 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 sometimes near impossible, depending upon how cold the temperature gets,
yeah,
to charge air conditioning unless it's a certain temperature outside.
Right, right.
You need it to be a certain degree of heat,
yeah,
outdoors, yeah, to put a charge on an AC system on a car.
Yeah, yeah. So I need to get it in like this week if I can.
Yes. The longer you wait,
yeah,
the more likelihood he's going to say, look, I got to wait until spring rolls around before, right, I can charge it.
Yeah, unless he can roll it into his garage and let it sit there for a while, I don't, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I'll probably be chatting with him this week, because the other thing is, I do believe that, I don't know what every car does this, but I do believe the Prius actually uses the air conditioner in the wintertime for, like, the defrost and things like that to, take out the moisture in the air. So it doesn't, mm-hmm, you know, it doesn't blow moist air up on the windshield where
on the windshield, yeah.
So not that it uses it a lot, but I think it does use it to condition the air, and I think it's mostly in the defrost cycle. I don't know whether, mm-hmm, it uses it in the heating cycle at all, but so that concerns me too, because, right, the last thing I want is frozen windshield on the inside.
No, yeah, you're not going to have frozen with the heat. It just takes a little while longer.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I have a car that has air conditioning that doesn't work, and I went through all last winter.
Mm-hmm.
And the moisture, there again, too, you don't have to worry too much about the moisture in the air during the middle of winter, because the air is typically very, very dry in the wintertime.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's when you have your transitional times going into spring,
mm-hmm,
from winter into spring, and from obviously going into autumn right now, yeah, that's when you have sometimes it uses a little bit of both.
Okay. So I'm going to get them fixed. And that's it. I think that's it for bottom gear this time. So,
all right.
Cool.
So, Joel.
Oh, okay. Before you get going here, guys.
Okay.
Before you get going, because Mark's done with work and he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and it's snowing outside. Great. So I'm going to go pick him up, and I'm also fried. So okay. The next subjects look fascinating. I want to be here for it, but I got to go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you later.
Okay. We understand.
All right.
We're running real long anyway, but there's two things. We'll get them done, and then we'll call it. So have a good night, Michael.
Yep.
Tell Mark we said hi.
And since the camera's not on, I will be honest, I did fall asleep twice during the cast tonight. I'm sorry. But like I said to Barty, thank you to the two of you and both of your beautiful brides for all the encouragement this week. It's been a trying one. So yeah, it's amazing how close, how good a friend you can get over the internet.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I just felt so frustrated because I said, I wish I was closer, you know, to help you out or, you know, maybe what make a couple of those extra rides, you know, down or even just be a driver, you know, but, yeah, that's the tough part. Yeah. So just be careful, Michael, and take care of yourself too.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm going to go pick up Mark and I'm going to bed. Right. I'll
catch you later.
Yeah. Good night, my friends.
Okay. We'll see you. So, and for those that don't know, next week is Nearfest.
Yes.
Which is the New England Amateur Radio Festival, up in,
yes, it is.
Deerfield, the Deerfield State,
Fairgrounds.
That's it. And so we missed the spring one because, well, I had the flu. Unfortunately, yeah. So we're going to try to make this one.
And but there's bugs.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's nasty bugs. So this time there's no bugs. We'll be good.
No bugs because it's too cold. And this is the one we traditionally always go to.
Yes, we have.
For the last 3 years.
Yes, we have.
We've gone to Nearfest.
Right. So and this year, you're going to be looking for some equipment.
As a matter of fact, yes, I am. Yeah. Yes, I am. Right now, antennae.
Yes.
Sure. That's not a bank breaker, so to speak. It's just I want to make a good move because I have to have, you know, good antenna to put on the new, soon-to-be someday family truckster, and so I can put my new radio in. Thank you again, Michael, very much. And but to put that new radio in, I have, and they offer it on Saturday, and I believe on Sunday as well, but we're going on Saturday.
I don't think they have it on Sunday, so it's either Friday or Saturday.
Or Saturday. Yes. We're going on Saturday anyway, so it works out well. Yeah. But rather than just completely perusing all the different tables and pavilions with the vendors who have equipment and gear for sale, part of that you're going to have to do by yourself. Why? Uh-huh. Because I'll be inside taking my test.
That is so cool.
Yes. Yeah. For the last 2 years, 3 years, I've said, I ought to go in here and take my test. And there were times we walked by and I said, testing is about to begin in 5 minutes. Now, I could probably have walked in there and taken the test based off my knowledge of electronics for technician without much of any issue.
Right.
But I want to go technician general so I can do HF. So that's something I am brushing up on because I can open. I honestly, there's laws that I just don't know and wouldn't know unless you study it.
Yep.
So that's what I've been doing and are doing and will continue to do all this week.
And you know, online there's all the they have a bunch of sample tests. There we go, test tests.
as opposed to non-test tests.
Sample tests that you can take and that's a neat thing. You know, you can just go up there and you know, give yourself the confidence that you're ready to go in and do it. And there are multiple guest questions, so
exactly. So you get a 1 in 25 chance at guessing it right.
Right. So, but that is so cool. And of course, I know you're going to be looking for probably a dual band antenna, HF or VHF and UHF.
VHF and UHF,
2 meter, right. 440.
440, yep. Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll find something there. And I don't know. We'll now that you got a radio and you're going to have an antenna, you're going to maybe want some test equipment and stuff too, so we'll have to investigate what else is there.
Yeah, well, there's always so much there.
Yeah.
Every year I always end up leaving with something. Even if it's something small, I end up leaving with something.
Right. So And so that's neat. So it's going to be fun. Plus, we're planning to meet up with Jason, one of our listeners and also a fellow podcaster.
Yeah,
because he goes to both of them every year, and mm-hmm. we were going to meet up with him in the spring, and again I got the flu, so we didn't catch up. But he's already contacted me by email, and I said, "Yeah, we're going to be there." And he goes, mm-hmm. "Well, Friday or Saturday?" I said, "Well, we're going to be there Saturday because we're both a little low on vacation time." Although it's, I think it's an off Friday for me this week, but that's all right.
Rub it in. Just rub it in right away.
Sorry. I was just thinking. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, because I just had worked a full week this week. So
I love it when you tell me. Well, you know, I do so miss the calls that I would get Thursday at about 5:30 when I hear, you know, today's virtual Friday. I'm all done for 3 days. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm usually still sitting in my cubicle going, I hate this.
Well, that's why I stopped.
But I hate it and like it at the same time. It gives me inspiration to look for a job that has the 980 work week.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're disappearing in a lot of places.
They are disappearing in a lot of places, but it depends on the industry you're in.
Yeah.
Because certain industries firmly stand by them.
Yeah. Oh, they work. I think they work. I mean, that's probably one of the main reasons people stay where I work.
It's a major benefit, man, yes. To know that you get a 3-day weekend every other weekend.
Yeah.
That is a major perk.
Yep. Yep. And it was funny because 1 year, because of the way the calendar and the holidays worked out,
mm-hmm.
They were going to, you know, every other Friday we have off, and they were going to switch the Fridays because it just worked out with the vacation and everything. It was a benefit toward the company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you should have heard the turmoil and everything from all the workers. You can't do that. I've got, you know,
you plan.
I got child care set up for every other Friday. I can't just change it. I've got all these appointments set up. You can't just change it like that. And oh my God, mm-hmm. So they ended up not doing it. You know, the company sucked it in and they kept it the same off Friday schedule.
That's
as
what it should
was.
Be.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. But I just didn't think that much turmoil. I said, "Wow, I've never even thought about that." But yes, it's true with me too. It's not so much anymore. I make dentist appointments on the off Friday. I used to try to make all my doctor's appointments on off Fridays, but doctors found out about off Fridays and thought it was cool, so now they all take Fridays off.
a lot of them do.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so, but that's, but anyway, back to that. This is going to be cool, and mm-hmm. You got a radio, a cool radio.
Yes, indeed.
And we'll have to start playing with that, with the radios again, because mine's in the car, of course. Yes, I know, you got frustrated. I thought my little holder for the head of it worked really great on the vent, and then all of a sudden, coming home, it failed.
Yes. That was a shame in the sense it's nice to have it on. And I'm like, you know what? Two teeny tiny little screws right there and right there. And the head unit will always stay exactly where you want to reach it so you could, you know, talk on there and it wouldn't fall off. And I'm like, you know what? I'm buying you that piece of plastic from the boat.
Because I don't want to put any screws in my dashboard.
I already looked it up.
I know you did. I know you did.
$22 for that plastic vent strip that you can shoot two screws in for the whole the head unit, and then another one to put the hook to hang the actual radio handset.
Yeah.
And now it's always out of the way. It's nice and neat and clean. And then when you go to sell the car, you just pop off that piece of plastic with the holes. Pop on the other one that doesn't have holes. Done.
Yep. Yep. That's too easy. I'm gonna have to look into that.
That's too easy.
It is. It's way too easy to fix that problem. Anyway, so Michael was the last story. I forgot about that. You know, and we bypassed that. What the hell happened to it? It disappeared. That's why we bypassed it. Somebody took it out.
What was it?
I put in a thing about Windows 10.
I just saw it in there.
Because it came out this week.
Yeah, it's still in there. Is well, it? At least it was as of 10 minutes ago.
It's not there anymore.
Wait a minute. Because it was 64-bit ISO of
Party.
Preview downloaded. Michael has that as a last. Maybe he took it out because he's addressing it in his show notes at the bottom.
Maybe. Yeah. That was. My only thing was Windows 10 came out this week. Microsoft announced Windows 10. They skipped 9. Nobody knows why. But they skipped the number 9. Number 9. And they went to 10. But I got to tell you, I didn't get to see the. I didn't get to see whatever show they had about it. And I haven't had a chance to read about it. So I can't say I know much about it. And I was wondering whether any of you guys had seen it or heard anything. I heard they're kind of going back to the Windows 7 roots a little bit because everybody loved Windows 7 and hated Windows 8.
Yeah, well, Windows 8's a piece of crap. That's why, you know. It's total and utter junk versus Windows 7, which, I'll be honest with you, it's the best version of Windows I found thus far.
And I totally agree. I was very happy with Windows 7 here, and I was very upset when I decided to upgrade to Windows 8. And I'm still not happy with it. So Windows 9, if it truly is going back to the Windows 7 roots... I will probably upgrade to it for my one box here if I don't go out and get another Mac Mini to replace that here.
Which I think that'd be the way to go.
I think so too. For the Studio One, I could get a Mac Mini and I could deck it out a little bit with memory and disk space.
It'll do everything that you're ever going to throw at it.
Right. And it could, instead of sitting on the floor here, it could sit up underneath the two consoles. and do everything I possibly would want with it.
Yeah,
I think that would be the way to go. But we'll see, because I still have this box and it's still working, although, you know, I'm a little leery about the hard drives in it, because this thing has been on all the time for how many years have I had this? I got this 2006. 2006.
Yeah, that sounds about right. About 6 sounds about right.
Yeah. And it's been going nonstop, so I can't complain about the hardware. It's, you know, Hewlett Packard.
Mm-hmm. It's been hammering away.
Yeah. I just don't care for the operating system. I've never been a big Windows fan. And unfortunately, the software I choose to use to do podcasting with, which is Audition, only comes on Windows or OS 10, and so they don't have a Linux.
So version. I mean, like, right? I mean, the idea behind it being is simply, I mean, you could, once you do convert to Mac Mini, you could fire up and run Virtual Machine, or Parallels, and then run it inside of Windows on the Mac.
Well, I don't need to do that because I already have a copy of the Mac version. I own two copies. I own a Windows version and I own a Mac version of Audition. So I'm covered. Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah. I loved it so much that when I got the MacBook Pro, actually, I had it on the other one before that. I found myself, instead of coming up here all the time, a lot of times when it comes to post-editing the show and getting it ready and posting it, I was more comfortable sitting in my lazy boy downstairs with the laptop up there, because I'm not doing any recording, I'm just editing and stuff like that, and I can do it on my laptop and boom, 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 up on the web page. So
yep.
If you remember when I used to have to do it, come up to the office and do it, it used to take me a while to get those podcasts out, longer than it does now, and it already takes me a long time to get these
now
out.
Now you sit in your comfy chair with the TV on in the background and
edit and pop it
edit and go and fall asleep. Wake up, edit some more.
That happens a lot. So, all right, I think we better call this one, because I'm looking at the time on here. Now, granted, we were chatting pre-show quite a bit, but it says 3:07.
No, it's 11:03.
No, this is 3 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah, you're going to have some editing to do.
Yeah, the pre-show will come off, but it's still going to be damn... It's all going to be over 2 hours, so let's call it. Musical guest is insert name of band here. Something will show up, as yep. usual. And I think that's it. Again, most we'd like to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what they do. And especially you OCONUS guys... take care of yourself. Stay safe. It's a wild world out there, and you gotta stay safe and stay healthy. And especially since we sent some people over to help with the Ebola virus thing in Africa. I don't know why the military was sent in, but maybe people know better. But I think that's dangerous. Anyway. Thanks for what you do, and we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And Barty was here, and Michael was here, and they already said their goodbyes, but...
This is Michael. Yeah. And from the Thumbnail Plateau, this is Marty.
All right, everybody. That's show 156. 157 next week. Until then, have a good week. We'll end here is insert name of band here.
Tonight's musical guest is the Dave Brubeck Quartet with Three to Get Ready. Thank you.
Samson, speak. Good boy.